Okay? Okay, we're going to return from recess, so we're going to move on. I know some people are still eating, so bear with us. The next topic is parking. And to begin that process, I think, Arlen, if you could just give us some of the numbers as a reference point for council to consider.
Some of this I'm going to kind of present or discuss in different ways, I guess. So I'll do like one just overview. If you want to just look at like the 2021 parking season, because it actually crossed over two fiscal years. So I'll just give that initial take as the 2021 parking season.
Is this in your PowerPoint?
It is not. Okay. I can give council something if they'd like something later today or next week. But the gross revenues were $741,000. I'm going to round numbers here in the 900. Expenses were about $196,500. So that means the basically net profit or over budget amounts were $545,400 is kind of the excess revenue over expenses. So that was kind of the whole season. But if we start to look back at what does that mean in relation to our budget, so the first part of the parking season, April through June, was the 2021 budget. So if we look at that, we had budgeted $150,000 of revenue. We actually came in at about $371,000. And we had budgeted $150,000 for expenses, and we came in at about $115,000. So looking at that, the actual net profit over what we had budgeted for fiscal year 2021 is about $253,500. So it's, even though we have that as net profit, some of it, you know, we had actually budgeted and planned on receiving and actually planned and had allocated to certain expenses. The next thing I wanted to do is kind of project that out and say, well, what does it look like for the entire fiscal year 2022? So we basically have three more months of parking season. That'll be April, May, June. If we go with that schedule, I guess. So right. This is just a projection at this point. So what I would have projected there is that we would have the same revenue, basically, that we did this past year. So about $741,800. Total expenses would be about $190,000, so we would have a revenue in excess of expenses of about $551,900. But of that, we had budgeted some of this money, so it again was planned to be used for certain other expenses, so that we would actually be about projected to be about $397,000 more profit, basically, than what we had previously done. So it's just different ways to look at it, that not all of it is just like, here's newfound money, because we had actually planned for some of this, but we were very conservative in those initial estimates, since we didn't know what the parking program, you know, what our revenue and expenses would be.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to pay for certain things that we intended on borrowing money for? I mean,
That's kind of the way I've been proceeding at this point, is that, yes, certain things that we said we would finance, in particular, some of the paving that we had done, the initial budget included some financing. It seemed wise to just use this money for that. There was also a couple other capital items that had been purchased earlier in the year, fiscal year, that I did not get loans for, in particular, the fire department truck that was purchased earlier. I think Public Works purchased a flatbed dump truck, I think, and also the police truck that's not delivered yet but has been ordered. So the thought was those things too, which we said we may take a loan for, at this point have not been financed either. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
But all those were in the budget.
Oh, they were all in the
budget.
It's
just you just, instead of incurring future liabilities, you just went ahead and I assume you got council to approve your plan, or in the finance plan, you're authorized to do what you did, right?
Right, and it was more looking at, you know, what the, you know, additional revenue sources, or, you know, and any of these things could still be financed, even if it were decided to do that, but, you know, it just seemed like a direction to go, I guess, to
I agree with you.
Not take on additional debt if not necessary.
It's certainly a good use of the cash. We just, as we had agreed, we just keep at least an idea of the direction we're taking on with these dollars. So, okay, thank you very much. And that is a different way to look at it, because it does hit two budget years. Parking is right in the middle of the end of one year and the beginning of the other. So,
but I think the important issue I get out of what you said, Arlen, is that while the news said that Cary Beach netted $700,000 in their small report about parking, the reality is, after you look at what was already in the budget and the expenses, it's a lot less than that. It's around
$200,000.
Yeah, the news definitely focused on a gross number. You
know, right.
Yeah, so it, yeah. There's a lot of different factors that need
right.
to be.
Right. But the key is that the town, over this experience for the fiscal year we're talking about, was $250,000 that we were not expecting, $253,000 is the number you said, that we were not expecting, that we put into the general fund, and then we'll use in the budget process to figure out what the right thing for the citizens are. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
Perfect. And that's important for council, if you get called by the parking guys, I think to focus on the fact that, look, in the budget process and the expenses and everything, the total wash of parking for this budget year was an unexpected $253,000 went into our general fund, and our budget process will determine what to do with that. So I think that's the get into the detail.
Okay, so now we're going to get into parking points, and gentlemen, we need to make some decisions. The primary decisions that we need to tell Premium is their duration. So what I have here on this sheet I gave you is a way for us hopefully to talk through this very quickly. Forget the wraparound up there. For that council doesn't belong there. This is because I did it instead of the ladies. But so you've got the item, duration, you've got the committee input, and then you have the Premium input based on two things. One, their view of what the town could actually do, and secondly, based on their view of what Carolina Beach has done and potential impacts. So, we need to tell them when we're going to start, and we need to tell them quickly so that they can get the staffing in line. So the first item is, how do you want to run this year's parking program? The committee recommended we start April 1st and September 31st. Premium had recommended that we should consider starting in mid-March, since the weather's beautiful. However, that was their recommendation.
I don't see the need for any change. April, September.
Are we going to discuss all these and make one?
Yes.
We're going to go through these individually.
We're going to go through them individually.
So you want a motion individually?
Well, I think what we can do is
the motion if we change something.
I guess, Councilor, do we need to have a motion on each of these items, or can we just pile them up at the end?
I think if you discuss them and reach a consensus, then you can pile them together in the end.
Okay. Thank you. That's what we'll do then. So, gentlemen, what's your consensus? You want to start mid-March? You want to start in April? Or do you have another idea?
I like April.
I agree with the committee recommendation.
Yes, I do.
Okay, so do we have consensus on April as a start, April 1st? What is the end date?
September 30.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Current September 30. Okay.
And we're going to do no two-week warm-up.
No, we're not a grace period.
Yeah.
No grace period.
Did you say,
I'm
sorry, no grace period?
No grace.
Thank you.
Now, the day hours. We start our program at 8 o'clock in the morning, and the committee recommended we keep our hours, really, which was 8 to 5. Premium had no problem with 8 o'clock. they did recommend, and the reason I asked the question is, there is some concern that we get a whole another crowd of people that come in and use all the infrastructure at 5 o'clock when we cease free parking. That potentially puts pressure on our lifeguards and on our police department.
And public works.
So from their perspective, their view is that why don't you increase the day period either to 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock? But the committee was at 5 o'clock. So, gentlemen, I open it up for your discussion and decision.
Well, part of the discussion prior to starting last year was 5 o'clock so that people could park free when they came to dinner.
Right.
I guess you could come to dinner at 6. I don't know about 7.
Yeah, I'm kind of mixed on this, right? So I definitely hear the department head's issues. I'd almost propose that we split it, but I think makes a bigger mess. So I'm not saying I think this is a smart idea, but in my mind, it would be like let downtown state, you know, go at 5 and all the beach accesses go at 6, because that fixes some of Jimmy's problem with the trash cans, right? So, and I don't know if it helps the police department or lifeguards at all or not. But I think that becomes a big mess to communicate and get it right, right? So,
it does.
I'm not proposing that's the solution. That's how my thinking is on it. I don't know what the right answer is.
Well, it's not going to affect the lifeguards at all. Y'all going to come off the stands at 5 o'clock, right, Chief?
Well, but like he talked about earlier,
we have the two
they
guys.
Keep extra guys if there's crowded, right?
And they have to police the beach at 7, but there's only 2 where there's normally 10 and sometimes 12.
But we got ROT money to pay for that.
So yes.
I'm molded over quite a bit as far as how it relates to the lifeguards, and I tried to get in the mind of the person in the parking spot, and I looked at it several different ways as far as, like I said, strictly as it relates to lifeguards and busyness on the beach. I can see both sides where if you extend it to 7, then the people that pull up at 3 are saying, well, I'm going to get my money's worth and stay till 7. So you're going to get some people to stay later. And then on the flip side, if you open up the free parking at 6 or 5 or whatever, then you may get the rush of the freebie parking. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm not sure where it falls. But
yeah.
I think if there's an open parking spot, someone wants to be there, then they're going to the beach if possible.
I don't see how we can split it.
I'm with you.
And we got into this leaving it at 5 o'clock so it didn't affect the restaurants and everybody in the downtown.
So
I'm all for leaving it at 5. I mean, the people that usually come out there after 5, I feel people that get off work, grab their kids, run and jump in the ocean for 2 hours. We did this for control, not as a cash cow where we've become dependent on that revenue like other beach towns over the years. We got the control I feel we need. It's a very successful year. I'm fine with 5 o'clock.
Cool. I can be there.
Okay. Here we go. I'm fine with 5.
Okay, so we have consensus at 5 o'clock, agreeing with the committee. So it's 8 to 5. Rates per hour. The committee said, let's keep the rates the same. $5 and $20. Premium came up and recommended that we actually go to $25 a day like the beach town down the street, saying that $5 an hour, $25 a day. That was their recommendation. So what is council's feelings on that decision, or do you have another decision or another idea?
I think I'm fine with the committee right now. I like what Joe said, too, about the, you know, I think the future of paid parking, you guys have heard me talk about this, in 5 or 10 years with automatic cars and Uber stuff, I think there's some paid parking people are going to be surprised that they're not making any money at all. So not getting like over committed on this. And $20 for a day, I think it's nice for us to have some separation from them. So I'm with the committee still. I think they're doing a good job.
I am too.
Joseph?
Yeah, no.
Since I chair that committee, I'm kind of trying to be quiet on this point. So, okay. So it is the committee recommendation. on enforcement. Our enforcement has been, you pay $20 for the day rate parking, which you have tried to escape, and you pay a $35 fine. The recommendation out of premium was that you actually take that fine to potentially $40 or $50. They referenced what Carolina Beach is doing, that their fine is $100. If you don't pay within 10 days, it's $150. And if you don't pay within, I think it's within the next 10 days, it's $200. Now, there's a great potential that if you go too high, people will just ignore it. And they'll say, okay, I won't go back. Because it is a... Now...
So where does the enforcement fee go? To the town or to premium? Or
we get 100% of the enforcement fee comes to the town. They would like to share in that if we would so deem, but not.
And how many enforcement? How much money did we take in?
$10,000, wasn't it?
Oh, it was a lot.
$30,000.
How much was it?
Arlen, for enforcement. So fines.
It was a lot.
75.
Wow. $75,000 on enforcement.
The parking component on top of that was another just about $35,000.
Wow. I hate that people can't read, but...
And our regular parking fine is $35.
Yes, you know, that's the fine would issue a ticket, that we just changed our...
Yeah, I think it should be the same as that then. I agree with the committee again.
Yeah, I do too.
Okay. Resident program fee. Last year we charged residents $20 a vehicle for two vehicles. Any more than two vehicles, it was $100 a vehicle. The committee and premium didn't see a problem with that or no recommendations to raise it. I don't know if council has any other point.
That's $20 each.
$20 right. Each, that's
for
right.
For each car, yep.
Or golf cart.
Or golf cart.
Yes. So, gentlemen, what's your opinion?
Well, I think I was the only one that voted against the residential program fee last year, and I still, I gladly paid mine, but I guess it's a necessary evil. So.
Well, there's people that didn't pay any and only went downtown after five.
I know,
it's
people a choice.
That didn't even buy a decal.
It's a choice, but 932 did buy passes.
Really didn't complain about it. They were happy to do it.
I know.
I mean, we really got a very, very huge... Anybody that complained was against paid parking as a whole.
Correct.
Yeah. So...
How many bought the extra $100? When do you know, Arlen? Does it break out?
I can't really determine that.
Okay.
The only other thing we know is the $200 season, and I'll talk about that when we get there.
Okay. A question I have, maybe it's to be later, but... Are we going to improve that process for the citizens? I mean, I thought
yeah,
it was
that's
is
back,
that later?
That's back
okay,
down
I'll,
here, yeah.
I'll keep my mouth shut.
So I think we have consensus, maybe with a little dissension.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm good with the $20.
Okay. Now, the business program fee, meaning that they're not residents, but they do own and run a business in town, we had given them the same option as the residents. $20 a car for two cars, and that was the recommendation.
Yeah, it's a property owner.
Yeah, property owner.
Yeah, I think that's right.
That's fine.
Or even if they don't own the property, they own the business.
Or they're renting, just like a renter, right?
Right. Though, that's just a business program, because you could be a resident renter. You still have to get the owner's permission.
That's right.
So we're still there. Now, the workers' program fee. Last year we charged $100. Well, there was a little reticence on the committee that the committee came forward and said, look, matter of fact, I'll give Joseph credit. He said, I don't feel comfortable with that. I'd like to see that program at $75 and cut the local workers a break. My only...
Well, you said 50, but y'all talked me about the 75. So,
okay, yeah, you know, well, that's true.
I conceded on that one.
My only issue with that is then that the workers are getting a better deal than the residents on the third car.
Wow.
And there was no recommendation for premium. They really didn't have a dog in that fight.
So the committee's recommended just reducing that to $75.
From $100 to $75.
I support that.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Committee's batting 100 so far.
Yeah.
Okay, just real quick, we did get consensus on our business program fee, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
The guest program fee. Now, this is this was our $200 season pass for people who are not residents, mm-hmm. where they can buy the season pass. We sold 292 season passes last year. The situation this year, and this is what Premium said, consider what Carolina Beach is doing. They have canceled their program. And canceling their program, do we expect that we would see a lot more than 292, and would that be a burden on the 532 spaces? What the committee came up with as a recommendation here, and it was with Arlen's help and guidance, is, look, let's have a program. We talked about setting a number, but setting a number is difficult, particularly if everybody comes in at one time and you say, where did you cut it off and how did you cut it off? So Arlen recommended, like we do with our, you know, getting home free after the hurricane, up to a certain date and time, whatever that is, we need to talk about that. If you buy your pass by April 15th, you got it. If you don't buy it by April 15th, there is no more passes.
We stop selling them.
We stop selling whenever. That's just a fictitious date. We have to pick a date.
Yeah, I don't support that. I see this one as it's going to bite Carolina Beach eventually. So there's at least one county commissioner that continuously complains about the county supports beach renourishment, even though that's not correct. They're wrong, but there's at least one. Yeah. I think there may be more than one. And I think this is one of those things we can say, look, we're supporting the county with this, right? So anyone in the county, because if someone in Raleigh buys one of these, fine. Thanks for buying it. Drive down as much as you can. You're not going to use it very much. This is really the county people that this benefits. And I think when we get in discussions one-on-one or even more than one of us talking to more than one county commissioners, this is one of those things. Wait a minute, we're supporting everyone in the county. They have the opportunity. They can't do this at Riceville. They can't do this at Carolina Beach. But at Curie Beach, if you live in New Hanover County and you want to go to the beach a lot, you can buy a pass in Curie Beach and go to the beach. And I don't,
can we exclude Carolina Beach residents since they didn't offer it?
Just you know, kidding. I thought about that. No, I thought about that, Joe, personally. Yeah, you might be kidding, but I pondered that because, you know.
Are we going to get bulletproof vests?
Yeah.
Val, do you need to increase your budget?
Yeah, no, okay, now we're getting to a field. But just my personal opinion is if it becomes a problem, we'll see it. But even the people that buy the season passes, they don't come down on the weekends anyway. They come down on a Tuesday afternoon because I'm down at E Avenue and I talk to the people that are, you know, I don't know if I talked to 20 of those 292, but I definitely talked to a number of them. So let's say I talked to, that would be 10%, right? 10% of those. They're down during the week because if you buy a season pass, you're not going to fight the weekend crowd anyway. They're not burning up the spaces because the reason you bought it is so you can go on Tuesday or on Thursday afternoon when you get a chance. So I don't think we need to limit those. If it turns into we sell 5,000 of them and people are circling around for parking, then Mike can tell me I was wrong next year at this time, but I think we don't limit them. That's my personal input.
I would add to that and say, I'm thinking about the 200. Don't have a problem with the season pass, but at $200, that's 8 days at the $20,
yeah.
Well, 10 days at the right. $20 rate right. that we approved in line three.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got April, May, June, July, August, and September. That's 6 months. That's 180 days. And they're paying for basically 10 days mm-hmm. of 180 at the daily rate.
Yeah.
So that is a good deal.
Yes.
And particularly if they live close and are yeah. in the county, they're coming yeah. all the time.
Is your recommendation that it be higher, John? We went to 200 last year because Carolina Beach was at 150, and we wanted to be in a position where we weren't competing for that particular group. we're not going to be competing this year. But you have a valid point, John. If we are going to be the only people in the county offer it, should it be more than 200? And that's one of the reasons to bring this up, is because this is where we need to make these decisions.
Well, I'm just thinking that if...
It is a hell of a deal.
If I lived in River Lights and bought up there because of different price or community, or I want to be close to town and the beach, and they advertise beach access up there to sell those homes, then 200 is a good deal, because I can go to the beach a lot for $200, where 10 days and I've already amortized.
So our parking season is how many weeks?
It's well, 6 months.
Six months,
180 days.
24 weeks.
So if they came Saturday and Sunday for 24 weeks.
48
days.
48 times 20.
That'd
be
800
and some.
It's still a good deal, then.
No, I'm okay if you guys say that it should be more, but I don't think we should date available it, because the problem is people won't pay attention. They won't figure it out until July, and then they'll be mad at us because they couldn't get in, right? So only the people in the know get in.
Okay.
And well, I don't like that, because I really think that there are times when we have to be able to push back against the county commissioners about why Curie Beach is a good team player for the county, because we want the county to support something we need. And this is one that I think you can argue that the other beaches can't, right? Which I think they're wrong, by the way. I think Carolina Beach made a bad decision on what they've done, but that's their job, not mine.
If we raised it to 400, I personally think that's a good deal for the close-by people that can't get resident rent. And it will drive them to buy it early on, because I'm not going to give you 400 in September.
That's true.
Because I only got 30 days.
That's true.
I just think that's too high.
I think 400 is
a little
too
steep.
High,
it's a good deal, right. But it's a little steep, personally.
I think the committee talked even about, if I remember correctly, maybe 250.
Yeah, that was the recommendation.
Back and forth, and also the reason it even came up about limiting the number of them was because of the Carolina Beach situation. And
I'm not saying I'm 100% right. My just belief is that I don't think it's a weekend problem, and during the week we have empty spaces, right?
Right. Yeah, I understand. But that was where this all came from.
Yeah, I don't think it's a weekend problem either.
Right. The people that buy these, I don't think, come in the weekend and fill it up. I just don't think so.
Actually, that was kind of Jim Listro's view, too. He said, those people don't come on a weekend.
Right.
They don't hassle with everybody else.
Yeah.
They come during the week,
but
they come a lot during the week.
Yeah.
But they might not come $20 worth. They might come for an hour or two during the week.
Yeah, you're right. They come for whatever amount of time they want, because they can find a space and they...
Right.
It's the convenience, right?
Well, they might be off on Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah.
And
right.
And so there's no guarantee of a space. So are we talking about raising the rate? So we're saying, he said, I don't want a date available. We ought to offer one. John brought up a good point. It's a hell of a deal. So where are we, John? Where are you, Joe?
Leave it as it is.
Where are you?
Leave it at 200.
I think 250 doesn't hurt, personally, and don't make it date available. Where are you?
You're 250, right?
I'm 250 and no date available.
Okay. Where are you?
I'm no date available, and I'll flip a coin for you guys. I don't care about the price, right? So, I mean, the date available is the thing I'm worried about. I mean, I don't want to price people out, because I think that there are people in the county that love the fact they're close to the beach, but they can't afford to live on any of the beaches, and it's getting worse. I think I'm with those guys. 200, no date available. There you go.
So it's 200, available, no date. Okay.
Sorry, Arlen. You'll tell me next year I was wrong.
He actually didn't. He wasn't.
I wasn't necessarily
one way or the other,
okay.
Really.
I just was given the reason why.
Now, if this number goes up exponentially,
Then you guys can be point at me and be mad at me. That's fair.
Well, I don't know if at any point...
No, then we can be mad at all three of you.
Yeah.
These rates become part of our fee schedule. I mean, I don't know if at any point in time during the course of the year, and maybe the town attorney has an opinion whether we can change that.
And because your fee schedule is attached to your budget ordinance and you do budget amendments,
right?
So I don't have a problem amending the fee schedule.
Okay.
So if we did need to adjust something partway through the year, we potentially...
So do we want him to monitor how many, and if we say there's over a doubling, so if there's over 500, you should alert council?
But by that part of the season...
Yeah,
he can alert us, but I think I'd support raising it in mid-season.
Okay. If you raise it in mid-season, it's the effect of making it a date.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Because people say, look, I'm not going to pay more money for half the season.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, good.
Right? I was even thinking if you discontinue selling, you could actually, I believe, do that at any point in time, too, by changing.
Yeah, we could do that. Right.
Then that gets to John's point that you're not going to buy it late in the year anyway. You'll just pay the regular.
Yeah, I know you.
Right. Okay.
Now, the handicap, last year we said you could park free in a handicap space. Mm-hmm. And that was after evaluation. Nikki did the work for the NADA inputs. And I did have one discussion with the gentleman. It came down to the fact that talking to the handicap council, they said they should have equal opportunity. And in the closing argument with this guy was he said he should be parking free anywhere. And I said, well, you already have more opportunity than I do. If you get up early and you come and you get a handicap space, you can park for free. I cannot.
Right.
It's my recollection that you can waive the fee, but they're still subject to the time restriction. Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
So we don't have any that are time restricted, but you're saying if we did, right?
Yeah, we don't have.
But those weren't free handicap parking, so they had
to pay.
If they're in a regular space, they have to pay. This is only in a handicap space.
Do you have a limit? I don't recall. Do you have a limitation on
it? We have five pickup spaces, which are a half hour duration, and then we have a special rate on 10 2-hour spaces, which is $3 an hour instead of the $5 an hour.
So you got it all.
Yeah.
In the other regular spaces, I could pay for all day if I wanted to?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Every other space. Yep.
Cool.
Okay. So we're going to keep that. Golf cart parking. The council, I'm sorry.
Is that consensus that we are keeping it?
Yes.
Yeah, we're keeping it. Golf cart parking. The discussion was that we keep the same spaces as identified last year, but registration is still needed to use your golf cart in these spaces.
What does registration mean?
You have to register and with your license plate because it's all vehicle.
Was that a problem last year? That worked for the
no, room? But it was part of the ruling last year.
Oh, okay.
And people could say, oh, well, I didn't know that.
Okay.
But, so tell them.
Yeah, okay. I'm good.
So it's the same. Cool. Yep. Okay. Good. Yeah.
7th Street parking. Now, this was interesting. On 7th Street, there is an indication that a tremendous amount of people, not tremendous is a lot, that's too many, but people park on 7th Street, walk down to the beach to avoid paying for parking. Mm-hmm. That potentially impacts the ability of the residents to use the free parking for the recreation. So there was discussion. At least one individual said, if they want to walk that far, good for them, let them go. But but then there was discussion and said, look, let's protect the residents by having timed parking. If you want to walk that far, you can park there for 2 hours. After 2 hours, you're going to get a ticket. Or you could park there for 3 hours, and after 3 hours, you're going to get a ticket. I'd asked Premium if that was a viable solution. They said, yeah, no impact to them. They have no problem just going through that space like all the others. And so
they'll still have to register. They were okay with that? They're not going to charge extra for that because they're not?
No. Nope. He said, no, we don't have to charge. Because I said, is there a labor impact or anything else? He said, no. It's 53 spaces. He said, no.
So you're using the park?
Yeah, but if you're a resident, you could pull your car up there because it's registered. You could stay there all day.
Right, because
if you're an unregistered car and you're there more than 2 hours, or if we pick 3 hours, you're going to get a ticket. So it's 2 hour free parking.
So we just got to change the signage.
Yeah, we would have to do signs of
limit.
Yeah.
So how long are people at the park, say for example, play disc golf? What do you think, Sean?
At disc golf can take anywhere from 2 to 3 hours at least, especially if you're not very good.
Or there's a lot of people in front of you.
A lot of people, like one of their tournaments on a Saturday or something like that.
Yeah, it's on like once a month on Sundays, the disc golf club meets there. They hold one of their monthly tournament there.
But can I pull up there? If I've got my $20 ticket,
you stay as long as you want.
I'm park there as long as you want.
You can park there as long as, or a $200 pass, you can park there as long as you want.
But if I just pull up there and want to park for the day.
Yeah, so want to park free.
And I register my license plate and
pay $20.
Right.
Pay
no.
Whatever the day rate is.
If you're a resident.
Yes, you could do that too if you want to park up there, but then I think you're going to look for something much closer.
God, is that not going to be confusing to people? That
I don't know. It says 2 hour free parking. What's confusing? After 2 hours,
they need
you're
pay.
Paying for parking, or you're going to get a ticket.
Yeah, those signs are all over the place. Not in Pure Beach, but I mean, all over.
I mean, you never.
I mean, if Premium will do it and it's not our police department, I'm okay either way, right? I don't have a strong.
Or we can
deal.
Change nothing. That's. Yeah. Whatever you wish to do. I'm not trying to make it complex.
Also, was the fact that if a resident wants to use a park which they're paying for because they live here, that it may be taken by people who are parking free to go to the beach.
Well, that was the point. We're trying to.
So that was the other thought, is that they actually free up spaces for the residents to use the park.
Who want to use the park for their dog or take their children. And so they can use it if they can find a space. You know, so that was the point.
Did we find during the summer that town hall was packed every day?
I think Mandy would say she saw it. I think the police department would say she saw people
at the park. At the park, we did see it, but not at town hall. Is that what you were asking?
Yes.
I think people recognized it, or they at least assumed that government buildings, if you walk down to the beach, you're going to get something bad happening. Even though we didn't have really any signs saying that. But I think they assumed that. Because I agree with you. Even like 4th of July, everything's parked, but like town hall doesn't have a bunch of cars in it. It has a couple of fire department cars and none right there, which is always surprised me too, but which is good. I don't have an opinion on this one, honestly. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, I just think it's going to be a nightmare, but if Premium can, I would go 3 hours instead of 2 hours.
I'd go 3.
Okay, I agree with those guys, yeah.
See how it goes this season.
You want 3 hour free parking.
Is that for anybody or a non-resident?
That's for anybody.
And then pay after?
Right. So their signage needs to be tied in to get to Alan's point.
Yep. We'll have to say 3 hour free parking.
I had a resident email in a comment about parking.
Yes.
It's from Janine. Thomasani, I think. She's just saying hello at her rental property weekly in season. We have 2 parking spaces, so when we ask our guests how many cars they will be bringing, we then buy them the pass to use for 1 week.
Cool.
Just wanted to add that as I listened. She said thank you.
Good. That's good.
Okay, good.
Good business plan.
For the rental homeowners to do that.
That's a good point. People should... They could add that fee to their rental rate, actually.
Yep.
So the next item then is street paint signs. Last year, the greatest complaint on getting violations was that they'd park in the street, it'd say paid parking, and it didn't tell them what to do. If they didn't walk to the beach where it said text or pay or camera pay, and they walked down the street to somebody's house, they didn't know it. And I think, actually, quite a few of them were overturned in that regard. Wasn't that true, Mike?
I don't get to see those, but I know he's done, has overturned some of them, I know, but I don't get to see them all.
Yeah.
So
it wasn't very many. right?
Yeah. He's very good about trying to help people out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't get to see those. The only ones I primarily see are the ones my guys are on.
Right.
I see a few because he tells me about them. But.
So is that still Mr. Slaughter? He does these as well, or is it someone different that adjudicates these? Is it through the parking
company? It's through the parking company for those.
Okay, so it's not our hearing officer. Okay.
Yeah. So the recommendation, we blacked them out at the end of season, so right. People weren't confused. For a new season, the recommendation was, of course, we redo them, and we redo them with text rate and parking and a lot more information that we had on last time. The recommendation from Premium was we had it done professionally. Last time they made a stencil and they sprayed it yeah. on. And so the recommendation was that this time we have, they would make the arrangements, but a professional painter do it. And the expected cost of that was about $5,000. So either, or they asked if Jimmy could do it, and I said, no, Jimmy's not going to walk down the street and paint.
Thank you.
Jimmy's tired.
So I said, no. And I said, frankly, last year Tim was walking down the street spraying him and Jim because they were trying to get the program started in such a quick order. But this year they'd like to get it done professionally, and they say somewhere between, they think between $4,000 and $5,000 at about.
Will it be painted or will it be some type of vinyl?
It's going to be painted. They recommended vinyl, but that would have been a lot more expensive. And I said, and then how are we going to get that off the street?
Right.
What if we change the dates? What if we change anything?
Okay.
So
I'm good with doing it professionally.
Yeah, I think that's the right thing to do.
Okay.
And so does that mean they're just going to add that in their contract? Because we go year to year, right? So
right.
That's why you need all this information, right? So they're just going to add that in their contract.
Yep. Okay. I mean, our contract actually
is 3 years.
It's a 3-year contract, but they want to know, like, when are we starting? Right. What do you want to do? Because we are the owners of the program. They're right. just the facilitators. Kay Avenue.
Real quick, I have another email from the public. Said something about audio was cutting out. Sorry, is there an hourly rate for the parking in handicapped spaces, or is it free? Which I'm going to answer this.
Yes.
Also, can they repeat the question before they answer? It was a little hard to hear. I guess after all the discussion, it gets kind of lost. Okay.
Are these residents or news?
Residents first, property owner first.
All right.
And I believe this is a CB resident.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay. Kay Avenue. What do we do with K Avenue? The recommendation was consistent from the committee as well as from Premium that we keep the free pickup spaces, which was the 30-minute free pay. There were 5 of those. And then we had 10 reduced fee 2-hour spaces. The reduced fee spaces were $3 an hour. And the recommendation was is that we maintain that. So we have the 15 spaces on the south side of K between Atlantic and 421, where we'd have those 15 spaces again in front of the restaurants.
So the business owners, I assume, were positive. I haven't asked, but I assume they like to pick up stuff.
Yeah, I got no complaints. And
anybody else?
I didn't get any one way or the other. Is it an issue for them to know if somebody's been there beyond the hours, beyond the 2-hour plan?
No. Premium. That's what they did all last
premium
year.
Deals the
Premium did that all last year.
Okay. I'm good with
that. That's on the sign so you know which one to pick, right?
Yes. Those rolling signs that we have
okay.
there?
Yeah, okay. Right. Good enough. Okay. I'm fine with it the way it is. I think Ocean View, the new restaurant that's open, and part of his plan is chicken pickup at the window. And so I think we definitely don't want to decrease the number of pickup signs because that'll help them out, right?
Yeah, I'm good with
leaving. Plus you have the happy hippie there, and you've got people can run in and grab lunch from Jack Mack's, bring it out, or even pick up their evening dinner or whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
The registration process. The registration process is a little bit of a work in progress. Mandy has asked them to make some changes. Mandy has plans to run up to 3 workshops. Mandy, I don't want to speak for you.
Yes, so we're considering holding or hosting some workshops for the residents because we helped a huge amount of residents last year. And we did it sporadically through the day, which we will continue to do because we got to get it done before then. But we're also would like to host some workshops, probably 2 during the day and then 1 in the evening, just to kind of help people get signed up for everything. And that's for passes, not for the $200 pass.
Right, right. So people would come here and you'd basically set them down and talk them through it as a group.
As a group. And if they're not here as a group, I mean, it can be a walk-in session where we can still help them. But a lot of people don't have the technology at home to upload the documents we require.
Right.
Or they don't have a smartphone. They literally have come in here with their flip phone.
Right.
So, I mean, I've done it from the parking lot with an iPad and on the sidewalk with our laptops to help people do it just to...
So. No, that's good.
Well, I think that's a credit to the staff,
the
staff here for helping people. I got a lot of positive comments about how helpful y'all were. But I also had the biggest complaint I had was how hard it was to get signed up.
Through the process.
Yeah,
we did talk about that with Premium, and Meredith had come up with some great ideas. But because it would be based on an IP address, one of the ideas that she had would not work because we do so many of them here. And I use the example, I can't even get into my own Premium account now because I've done so many other people's accounts that I go to log in and it pulls up someone else's information, their other email, and I'm like, not me.
Okay,
So that is...
Can you do both cars at the same time, or you still have to do the process twice?
That's on Premium software, so we have to do 2 at the same time. But he was going to go back and talk to his team after the meeting and see if there was anything they could tweak or adjust or come up with on their end, and he was going to get back to us. But as of April 1st, I'm planning to move forward with our same process because we brainstormed it, and I really don't know how to change it.
Okay.
If we're going to require this information and y'all are going to require staff to check it, that's the only way we really can.
Yep. No, I think we are.
Okay. So, Mandy, we're going to leave that with you and your discussions with Tim on and when you decide to have these workshops.
Thank you.
Okay. That basically defines our program. Premium had some questions. Last year, their payment was strictly transaction fees.
Yep.
And we actually, this is news to me, when I talked to them, they called me on Friday, Arlen, they say of the 35 cents, 10 cents actually comes to the town. I didn't realize that. I guess I was just sleeping.
Yeah, it was in their contract,
yeah. So the comment was, they ask us to consider a few things relative to the contract. Their projection for first year revenues after expenses was expected to be around $55,000. Their actuals came in about $30,000. So they said, is there anything you can do to help us make the program more profitable for us as we staff it and do the other things? Here were some of the things that came to mind. And we don't have to do any of these things per contract. And we don't have to make a decision on them today. But you have them on your list here, which is transaction fee rates. I didn't think we identified what the transaction fee rate was, but they said they would probably raise the transaction fee if we approved. I didn't think in the contract we had to approve what they charged for their transaction rate, but I
think it was part of the contract that specified what their transaction fee was.
Yeah, I think they said this is our transaction fee rate,
right.
And they were thinking of changing that, which means that instead of 35 cents every time you go for an hour, it would be either 40 cents or 50 cents, whatever they think it may be or whatever we think.
Well,
the
person parking is paying. It's tacked on to the $5 an hour or the $20.
That's correct. That's correct. So that, and that is their, other than the fact that we pay them a management fee and we pay them for the software fees, that's their only source of revenue.
Well, and all their expenses.
Well, yeah, but so, it's not, it's a revenue, but it's not a profit.
Right.
Right,
okay.
The expenses.
Yeah.
So that's one consideration. Another consideration they talked about is ticket revenue sharing if we thought, if we were amenable to that. That is probably why they actually thought, let's go to $40 as opposed to the $35. But we don't have to make those decisions today. I'm telling you what their position
is. The program worked really well and they want a cut of our pie.
Well, what I'm hearing is
the program worked well and they didn't make a lot of money.
Well, I think what I'm, well, I don't know what I'm hearing, but what I think I get out of that is that their estimate of the number of transactions to get the revenues, there were less transactions. One, I think probably because our season's a little smaller, and two, because a lot of people bought complete day or week or season passes and then didn't do any more transactions. So they didn't have as many transactions as they estimated. Well, that's what
also,
I think.
Well,
that's
the lyrics. Based their initial revenue estimate about two times what it actually came in at. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So we didn't trust how optimistic they were on our part. That's why we budgeted the
and
way
I
we did.
I was wrong about that. I said we'd make $250,000. I was wrong. You know.
Well, I mean,
well, you're right. We budget year.
So you were pessimistic; they were optimistic. We went with Arlen in the middle, but I think, I mean, I hear what they're saying, but the contract covers their expenses, so they're not losing money. They just aren't profiting on their transactions. I don't know that we renegotiate the contract. We don't want them to go out of business because I think they were very successful. We look around at other communities that are having problems with the parking people they partnered with. Mm. And this seems to be a successful partnership. I don't know where I am, though, about opening up. Hey, my profits weren't enough, so I should get rid of
it. Right? Bring me sign
and I don't mean
contract.
That in a bad way.
Yeah.
Right?
If you crack the door, it's going to get kicked open.
Well, that's where
here's the point. And the reason I meant this, gentlemen, is increase the months. We've added 3 weeks.
Yep. Okay.
From April 1st, April 21st, we've added three weeks.
Okay.
So they probably would have liked to see us add more, but we did add 3 weeks. Then they talked about increasing the daily rate. We talked about that. That was voted down.
Right.
Right. And then increase the ticket fee. We talked about that. That was voted down. So the only thing that you might want to think about for consideration or debate later is revenue sharing or transaction fee rates. Now, this year, they will participate in any growth in the program, which is another reason that I'm a little iffy on some of this stuff. Meaning that if we made $100,000 this year and we make $200,000 next year, that $100,000 difference they participate in at 3% or 5%,
I forget what the number is,
but they'll be participating in the growth of the program, which will also help this.
Yeah.
So
I think we stay with the contract. That's my input. I'm with Joe. And recognize, look, we want to be good partners, and when we come up in 3 years to talk about this, then that's when the right time to talk about it is. If they were saying, well, we're going to go out of business, that's a different issue,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're not, right? Because we're covering all their expenses, so they shouldn't go out of business. They just aren't making the extra profit that they want.
Okay. So are
they projected, I guess. Yeah. I shouldn't say won't, but projected. I mean, that's important, Joe, to a business. You got to make what you project,
money,
too,
yeah.
Right? Because they're responsible to someone. They're not just like nobody's, but they have a contract, and we think we're in.
So just to be clear, we have to approve a transaction fee rate increase?
Yes. So if they come forward, we could consider that if you care to consider that.
If the policy of the board is to agree with premium on some extra revenue to their benefit that's not covered by the contract, well, we would do a written amendment to the contract.
Right, right.
And I would want to draft that amendment.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely, Counselor. So right now, I can tell them we've increased the 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. That gives you 3 weeks more parking revenue. You'll be sharing in whatever we grow this year. We expect to grow.
Yeah, that's another selling point. You're going to have 2 years of data
right
at the end of this year, and you know, maybe then you're willing to talk to them because you know better what to expect.
Right. So, cool. Okay. All right.
To check two things before we moved on.
Yes.
Last year we had Purple Heart recipients with a Purple Heart license plate could park for free in any marked space. We're going to continue that.
Gentlemen, you would like to continue that? I didn't think we had a lot of people participate in that, but...
I did get some phone calls verify it, so we did have some participation.
Okay, all right. That's fine with me.
And we started the last thing was church parking on Sunday from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. was free at the following locations. 3rd Avenue between K and L, 6th Avenue between I Avenue and J Avenue, KB Community Center parking lot.
Yes.
So we're still good with those hours
yes.
for church?
I mean, I believe so, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you
for bringing those up. So those are still good. And I think we have a program that the town was, to the most, at least happy with the results and happy with the execution.
Yep.
We may not have all of the staff exactly happy with with the program, but we'll get to a point where we'll be able to make changes at some point in time. Okay, so that I can get back to them now and tell them dates, times, etc. Oh, I'm sorry, John.
I don't think this has anything to do with the contract, but I would like to talk about one other issue in parking.
Okay, sure.
The Planning and Zoning Committee has been talking about stations in our parking plan somewhere for electric vehicle plug-in.
Who's talking about it?
Planning and Zoning. Now,
an ongoing
for a moment or two. But what they would like to do is throw that issue over the transom to the parking committee rather than it be a planning and zoning issue. It's a parking issue. Now, Craig has done a lot of research.
Galbraith, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes,
Craig
okay.
Galbraith. Not Mayor Craig, but Craig Galbraith, committee chair of PZ. And makes a good case for doing that. There are more and more electric vehicles, not only in the world, but on the island. There's no place on the island right now that has a plug-in. To charge a vehicle takes about 3 hours on one of the low charge units, half an hour on a high charge. The electricity is about a buck and a half an hour-ish. He recommends that we put in there are two kiosks, and you can park on each side of it with a plug, so you could have four spaces somewhere, and do it free, and free would be like $5 to charge your car. He thinks the advertisement and goodwill would be good. The people that own the car that are residents, they're going to plug theirs in at their house. They're not going to plug it in somewhere and walk home. Anyway, I want to hang up his proposal. And we don't need to read it now. I just want to maybe get permission to give this to the parking committee and let them chew on it and either come back or say no or this is crazy, whatever they think.
And they had suggested four spaces over there right out the door in the corner over there on town property or four spaces at the ball field.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be about $12,000 to install each machine. The town would have to pay.
$12,000?
Yeah.
Per
$24,000.
And the way these things work, when you have one of these cars, it directs you like to a Chick-fil-A because they put them at Chick-fil-A. So if you're traveling, it's going to say, "Here's your last That card's going to tell you, here's your last
charging station. If you go to the mountains, it tells you Yadkinville is the last place you can charge your vehicle until you get up to Boone.
Yeah.
So the town will get some advertisement.
So those restaurants and stuff have a vested interest in putting them in.
Sure.
Because it gets people to their restaurant, whether it's Applebee's or whatever it is. So I don't know how I feel about it. I would be in favor of us having more places to charge cars, but I'm not sure we bear the expense.
If it was so great, there should be some commercial company that says, we'll have a kiosk and you use your credit card and it'll pay for everything, the electricity, us for the space, and pay Duke for the electricity.
Duke offered a grant, but we missed it by about 30 days. Last year.
Well, should be coming back up.
How many times does $5 go into 12K?
Right, I know, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad idea, but I think it needs to be researched and it needs to be looked into with a public-private partnership possible.
Yeah, I'm not 100% against it, but I don't think that
my intention was not to get approval to make it.
Yeah, right, I understand.
It was just
to start the conversation.
And let the parking committee start the conversation.
And it's your as liaison, it's your role to bring this to council for that council. So I
so you're not trying to get the budget, then
I'm not trying to get this $5,000 worth of kiosk. I'm trying to get the parking committee to look at this and let them make a recommendation.
Right.
We can certainly do that. But you're sure they cost $12,000 a station?
Well, he says $5,500 would do the four.
Would do all four?
Well, see, that's why we need details. We need to research it.
Maybe the price went down in the past few months.
Well, I'm sure Craig has quite a few detail and where he found out stuff. So we'll have parking. I'll take a look at it. But I'm not really a fan of having everybody in town who doesn't have an electric vehicle pay for people who do. So, but that's not to say maybe there's stuff I'm not looking at.
I think it's a couple years too soon.
Well, it's not bad to be on a front end of things if they make sense. And maybe there's a way to make it make sense for the people who would be spending the money.
We'd look and see what other municipalities are doing, too.
He uses that phrase, is that Cary Beach would be out on the leading edge of this, people would want to come here because they could get their car charged.
Okay. So,
thank you.
Parking, I'll take a look at it, John. Parking committee. Any other questions on parking? If not, we're going to move on.
Did you want to entertain a motion?
Oh, thank you. That was the whole reason to do this, wasn't it?
You could entertain a motion to adopt the committee's recommendations to the paid parking program, and with the following modifications, you only change two or three of them.
Yep. So moved?
Okay. Is that what you said? I make a motion that we accept the parking points discussed following all committee recommendations with the exceptions of the guest program fee won't have a date available. And the street paint signs will be done professionally by Premium under separate contract. And 7th Street parking is 3-hour parking free at the park.
And workers' program fee reduced.
Thank you. And the workers, well, that was their recommendation. That was the committee recommendation.
Right.
Second.
Okay. Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, gentlemen, that's our program for the year.
Good job, Parker.
We made up 30 minutes. Nice job.
Yes.
Well, we're still behind.
37 minutes behind, you're right.
Okay.
Have faith in Arlen.
Good planning. We now move to Arlen. Mid-year financial review.
Look, people hear well enough if I stay here or do I need to go?
I can bring you the mic, but you do need the mic.
We have people on, so
when you're done, drop it.
Yeah, get the mic.
She's bringing
you
the mic.
Take the mic over to Arlen.
I'm kind of old to stand up there.
Yeah, taking the mic, please.
That'll increase your brevity.
Yeah, that'll work if you have the mic.
Not allowed to stop old.
Yeah, we're going to take your old badge.
Yeah, Arlen, you're not old. Sorry. He's younger than me. No? Okay. Okay. Yep.
I think I'm 16.
Okay.
He's a good chain.
So when, like the start, when a lot of these are very much glossed over, and you know, anybody can ask a question at a later date or even now if they have a question, but to try to move on to some of our other topics, I'll just kind of focus on what I think are some of the more important items here. So we'll just kind of quickly run through each fund and where we stand as of December 31st, so halfway through the fiscal year. And we'll start with the general fund. We are basically exactly where we should be and where we normally are at this point in time in relation to a percentage of revenue and percentage of expenses. Some of it, the revenue gets skewed a little bit because of property taxes and the timing of those, and expenses really become dependent on when certain capital projects take place. So. Slide four is just shows the major revenue categories for the general fund in relation to the actual versus budget. And again, there's nothing really out of the ordinary here. Parking, we've been talking about parking. We've already reached our budgeted amount of revenue, even though we still have 3 more months of parking season for this fiscal year. Everything else is pretty much in line where it normally is. One exception, building permits is running ahead of what we anticipated. On that other slide, there was a category of all other. This just shows the major components of the all other category. Again, there's nothing here that's out of the ordinary. I thought it would be useful to show the first 6 months of this fiscal year versus the first 6 months of last fiscal year. And I will say that overall our revenue is about $746,000 more than it was last year at this point in time. And a couple key things there, the introduction of paid parking. Our property taxes are about $293,000 more than they were at this point in time, and that's part of it is the tax rate that was implemented in relation to the revenue neutral tax rate, and we were also a little bit ahead on our collections through December 31st for whatever reason. But
plus, we have at least 30 new homes.
Right.
Right. So.
And sales tax, even though last year was a record year for us, we're on track for even to set another record for this current fiscal year. We're actually at about 142,000 greater in sales tax than we were last year.
Was that because of the way they changed the formula or people buying?
People buying.
People buying, okay.
And it's that way statewide. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything that was projected to go down because of COVID in regard to sales tax went the opposite direction.
Oh yeah, okay.
So they're the main things, I guess, looking at, you know, comparing the two fiscal years, the first 6 months and the two fiscal years. This just shows that other category, and the only thing that really stands out there that's kind of strange in my mind is the sales tax refund, and that's just really based on the amount of sales tax paid in the prior fiscal year that we get a refund for, and in 2021 we had the water meter project and a couple other things that drove the amount of sales tax significantly higher. So then we got a much larger refund of the sales tax paid by the town. This current year is more in line with a normal year. This is expenses in the general fund as of December 31st. Again, nothing really out of line. Some things, I'll pick on streets and sanitation, you know, look at about 38.5%. Again, it's timing of certain capital expenditures. No one is really in any kind of, serious possibility of exceeding their budget right at this point in time.
You got time, Jimmy.
There was a category on there of other. This is just the other. And we had paid parking, for example. We had budgeted for the fiscal year $200,000. We'll probably come in close to that once we complete the full fiscal year. And so far, that's about $78,600 that we spent so far for paid parking expenses. Other than that, again, nothing really out of the ordinary there either. I think, well, I just will say tax collection, that was one other little risk. Last year, the county was having a problem with their billing system, so they hadn't actually billed us for the majority of the first 6 months. So that's why this year looks like it looks a little, a little bit strange. And I'm actually ahead of myself. It's actually on this one that, that shows that, that for tax collection, for the first 6 months of last year, we had about $1,400. This year is about $17,000, so I'll back up just for a second. Oops. Back up. Also, all the departments are again pretty much in line with what their expenses were for the first 6 months of the prior fiscal year. Fire department is up, I think, a little over $100,000, but that's primarily related to staff additions that were approved for fiscal year 22. Here I just wanted to show for the general fund, our fund balance, basically. I broke it up into two components, kind of like the fund balance from the prior year, which is in blue, and then the addition or decrease for the current fiscal year. And you can see for in most cases, we've been adding to our general fund balance, which is a good thing. The 1 year in 2018, we did have a decrease in fund balance, and that related to capital projects that require some additional funding. For this past fiscal year, we actually added over $750,000 to the general fund balance. And that was because of a multitude of factors, I guess, anywhere from the paid parking to the sales tax, well beyond what we had envisioned, better property tax collections, increases in building permits. So there were a lot of things that contributed to that. In addition to departments being below budget overall, we were about 6% below what was budgeted for general fund expenses. So all those things together kind of led to the increase in fund balance, which is a good thing and something we have to strive for, because I don't know if you remember that during the audit, there's a new way that things are looked at, which is how do we compare against a peer group. Our peer group is general fund balances of under $10 million. So we're going to be compared to them and how, what percentage fund balance we have in relation to our expenditures. And if we get below that median number, then we kind of go on the warning or away, or council has to present a plan on how we're going to bring our reserves back up to the appropriate level. So we're nowhere close to that at this point, but as our expenses increase, or expenditures each year, just because of general price increases, you know, we have to keep that in mind with what we're doing with our fund balance. So any questions on the general fund? I know it's kind of quick, but I think it's the highlight. So, okay, so next, stormwater fund. This also, we're probably where we should be at this point in time, even though both the revenue percentage and expense percentage looks kind of low, but that's really because of, I think Jimmy had earlier today talked about the back truck that has been ordered, hasn't been delivered yet. Half of that gets charged to this fund. That has the impact on both revenue, because there was a quantity of loan for that, and then also the expenses, the capital expenditures. So because of that, which is a significant, I think, at least $220,000 worth that goes to each fund, that has a kind of skews the percentages a little bit.
Thanks for explaining that, because I wasn't sure what that was. Thank you.
So this just shows each major revenue category for stormwater in relation to the budget. So you see stormwater fees were right on target. Building fees, we are, again, well above, I guess, the stormwater builder fees. I guess building activity has been a little higher, I guess, than we anticipated at this point in time. And I guess we've made some changes to our actual fee schedule for stormwater building fees. And that last category, other finance, is the loan. So we haven't actually paid the loan for the back truck since it's not ready for delivery yet. This just shows the revenue through December 31st for the last fiscal year and the current fiscal year. And again, you see with stormwater fees, we did have a stormwater fee increase from $10 a month to $15. So that's the reason for the increase in the stormwater fee. You also see the, as we talked just a minute ago, about the stormwater building fees is up from the prior year. Stormwater fund expenses as of December 31st. And kind of where we should be in regard to at least that service. Those loan payments have been made throughout the year. Operations is down a little bit from where it would normally be at halfway through the year, but I think that's because some of the maintenance that is planned has not occurred yet. And then the capital outlay is two things, which is half of the back truck. And then also we had just put general capital improvements, infrastructure improvements of $200,000, which majority of that will be used on the project that's getting underway very shortly here around town hall. And this just shows the stormwater fund expenses fiscal year 20, December 2021 versus December 2020. Again, nothing really out of the ordinary in regard to the comparison of the two fiscal years with the expenses. Finally, for the stormwater fund is the fund balance. And this one you can see we have had used a significant portion of the fund balance over from 2017 to 2020, all for capital projects. We had accumulated those funds, and the intent being to fund capital projects without having to borrow money to do that. So we definitely accomplished our goal. Beginning with this past fiscal year 21, we did start to build our fund balance again into the stormwater fund to, again, to talk and to pay for future capital projects. Any questions on stormwater? Okay, next one is Powellville. Again, this one, revenue percentage of budget and expenses is a little bit lower than where you would expect. That's because of the timing of paving projects. The revenue, because we have planned to appropriate or use some of the fund balance to pay for paving, and the expense percentage because the expenses haven't been incurred yet. So this just shows the revenue components as of December 31st in relation to the budget. We actually this year got more of a Powellville allocation than we have in prior years. Last year was a decrease of about $4,000 from what we normally receive. Well, this year we got about a little over $9,000 more than we did last year. So that was a positive thing, whether that trend will continue, I'm not quite sure.
And we don't know why that was? I mean, it's based on, we didn't change any road lengths or anything.
Oh. No, but I think part of it, they fund this now by an appropriation from the state general fund.
Okay.
So
one question to you and the building inspector, and probably Jimmy too, so the three of you guys. So the Cove, or it's called the Cove, right? That expansion. Those roads, are they going to turn them over? Are we going to accept them? And then that gets added into the formula?
They will not be accepted by the town.
So we're not accepting. Okay. Okay. So they're going to maintain those. Okay. So then the only paved areas in the town that the town doesn't have responsibility for would be the Cove and whatever this other little one is right up here, right? There's only two places, right, Jim?
Seaview.
Seaview, right? Thank you. Okay. Okay, I just want to understand that.
But if they were, you're right, that would add to...
But they're not, so they don't. And then we're not responsible. Okay.
And this I just threw up there because it just really to show the Powell bill allocation over the last 5 years. So you see it's very consistent. Last year did drop. And then again, as I just said, we went up to about 70,000 for this current fiscal year.
Wow.
Expenses can kind of be a little bit all over the place depending on the amount of paving that we do in the street paving. So you see that normally we're just... You have certain maintenance expenses that are paid for, patching, a little bit of patching here, there, some line painting, that type of thing. That 2019 had a fairly significant number of paving projects, and this year, as we know, we have budgeted about 490,000 of paving, so a significant increase from what we normally would do. And this just shows the Powell bill fund balance over the last 5 years. And again, really, it's dependent on the amount of street maintenance, repairs, and paving that we have, because as you've seen, our revenue sources have stayed fairly consistent from year to year. Any questions on the Powell bill fund? So two other what are considered governmental funds, which is what the first we went through are considered, are the Beach Protection Fund and the Federal Asset Forfeiture Fund. So Beach Protection had a fairly small budget. It was just really interest income on fund investments. And we've running a little bit ahead of what was budgeted, since we've earned about 90% of what was budgeted at this point, but still very, very small dollars, what we're allowed to invest in. Doesn't have great returns right at this point in time. And then Federal Asset Forfeiture, it's a fund that's kind of under the direction of the police chief. Can only be used for police-related expenditures outside of the normal operating budget. That's pretty much on track. We have received some revenue from the federal government this year. And very limited number amount of expenses so far this year. So this just shows the fund balance for the the Beach Protection Fund. So this fund we set up in fiscal year 2014, continued to add to that to the point where we're up to over $480,000 and. As council knows, it's there to use for beach-related expenses. So we did make a significant addition to the fund balance last year, increasing it by over $106,000.
And this is the second part for council when we're talking to county commissioners about what we're doing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, and this just shows the fund balance for the Federal Asset Forfeiture Fund. And you see it increased significantly in 2018 when we received over $115,000 from the federal government in regard to investigations that the police department participated in. Since that point, we haven't received any additional funding until this current year. So again, it's going to decrease as some of that fund balance is used for federal expenses. So any questions on beach protection or federal asset forfeiture funds? So we'll move on to water and sewer. Again, I'll say that the revenue is in line where we should be at this point in time, about 49% of the budget on expenses. Not so much at 39%, and that's again, this is the other half of that back truck, significant capital purchase that hasn't actually been finalized yet. If we look at the components of the water and sewer fund revenue, water charges, sewer charges are pretty much in sync with where we normally would be at this point in time, halfway through the year. As I always say at this point, January, February, and March are our slowest months. So even though we look like we're a little bit ahead right now, that we're going to get caught up, you know, over those 3 months in regard to getting closer to actual budget. Tap and connection fees above what we had budgeted. Again, that ties into what we talked about earlier with more building activity than we had originally thought for this fiscal year. Other than that, everything else is pretty much in line. Transfers in was if depending on what capital projects we do and transferring any money in from the American Rescue Plan Fund.
So we heard from Carolina Beach on when they want to meet yet, or they're not quite ready?
Yeah, I haven't heard yet. I think in the past it's been all over anywhere, maybe the earliest is usually sometime in March, and the right. latest sometime in May. So we'll, yeah, I can ask, I'll ask about that in a week or so and see.
Okay,
if they
have that's fine.
This just shows water and sewer revenue by the same categories, but comparing fiscal year 22 to fiscal year 21, the first 6 months. And what I thought was interesting is that water and sewer are actually down this, you know, in comparison to the same period last fiscal year. Not by a lot, but a little bit.
Water and sewer usage, so actually the amount, or?
It has to link into usage, really.
Right, yeah.
We didn't change the fees.
Okay.
So, but not a lot. I mean, we're not talking about a significant difference there, but it's interesting, so.
So, that's fee, that's on the revenue side. Okay, that's interesting.
So because of that, our overall water and sewer fund revenue was a little bit less than it was for the prior year, about $130,000 less through June or through December 31st.
Wow, that's like 10%, right?
Right, but there's some strange, you know, one thing I'll just say is that 2021 had that transfer in that came from the water meter replacement project fund.
Okay.
So if you take that out, we're talking more about 100, more about the $50,000 to $55,000
okay.
difference.
Okay. Good. Okay. 10% seems kind of too much, but okay.
There's that part.
4%. Okay. Okay. And Jimmy, on the speaking of those meters, what's our failure rate then? I know of two. Is it out of like 2,300? What do you think? How many of you guys had to like fix?
10 or 12.
And how many of those were people drove over the top of them and dropped through the plastic box?
I didn't even count those. I mean, okay. these are just basically, they're not reading properly.
Okay.
I think Alan's was doing it.
Yeah, my water was 96%.
Yeah, you told me.
It's basically the screen just shows nothing anymore. It doesn't even show a number, and it's not reading anything. It's not communicating to my
So 10's less than 1% in a year and a half?
Well, like our house, I mean, it's mainly been box and setters. I'd say probably another 10, maybe, since we've done it.
Do they have a better box for that? Because there's a number of them that are broken.
We pay more for an industrial box or a metal box, but...
But we don't charge the homeowner to switch them, right? So we... Yeah. If you have to go twice, you might want to do that, or you're going to keep going.
The ones we have now from the original project are more sturdier and more industrial than the ones we used in the past. So some of the ones that have been run over now are the older boxes they just left there when they did the switch. So they're older boxes.
Okay. As long as you guys got a plan for it, I just don't. And I was worried that maybe the reason they were like that is because the radio wave wouldn't get through a stouter one. And you couldn't read them. That's what I was worried about.
I've been pretty good with the reading. Out of the 2,100 that I have to scan, it usually gets to, I get anywhere from 10 if I have like rain and there's water in the box or something, down to maybe like 5 or 6 that don't scan. And I have to deal with just something like someone's been in the box and knocked over the transponder or something like that. Like it's just little things like that. Or a wire's been ripped out of one of them because they were in there messing, or a plumber went in there and messed with it. Like, that way we do charge for that. So.
Yep. Okay, good. Thank you. Sorry to sidetrack you, Arlen.
And with what Ian is saying, we also, there was $10,000 withheld from Vanguard that was part of the agreement for like warranty issues. So we'll be coming out, and I think for a 2-year period. So not too far off. We're going to have to kind of reconcile all that. And okay. If there were issues that actually, I guess, became there, like a workmanship type issue for that thing, you know, we'll have to settle that up and then okay. Return whatever's left of that deposit.
The meters that are not working, that are damaged, that are just failure from install, Steve Miller, who we got the meters from, they're under warranty, and we've been trading them back and replacing them, so we have them back in stock once we've been switching them.
Okay, excellent. Glad you guys got it. That's awesome.
All right, so slide 30 is the water and sewer fund expenses, budget versus actual. Again, for most areas, there's really nothing out of the ordinary. Operations, again, kind of maybe a slightly lower, but because of the capital expenditure thing that we spoke about before.
Okay.
And this just shows water and sewer fund expenses fiscal year 22 versus 21 through December 31st. Again, nothing really out of the ordinary. I mean, operations is down a little bit, but again, it's the timing of capital expenditure.
Okay.
This shows water and sewer fund, a change in net position for the enterprise fund, which is, this is, it's net position rather than fund balance is what it's called. So this shows that over the last 5 years, for the most years, we actually had a increase in our net position, which is a good thing. 2018, we had a decrease, and that really was an accounting rule change in regard to how we had to treat retiree medical expenses. But since then, we have been adding, in some cases, not as much as maybe we should, because again, maybe the thought is an enterprise fund has to be self-sustaining, so we should be planning for future capital and building reserves for that also. So we're doing that to a certain extent, but you know, we should strive to build those as much as we can, since you know, certain repairs could come on unexpectedly.
So you talked earlier about the online evaluation of water this morning. We're still in the green in all of our stuff except for late payments, right?
Right. Yeah, we're in good shape. I mean,
okay. Good. Nice job by you and Jimmy. Then good job.
This shows that same net position, but I just wanted to break it into the two components. And the orange part is the investment in assets. So again, that's, even though it's an asset of the town, it's definitely not spendable.
Right.
So the blue part is considered unrestricted. In theory, that's spendable money, but it's not exactly. To a certain extent, it may be, but it's also there if we have an emergency, a storm, where we have to do significant repairs. We need the funding and funds available to do that. This helps provide that cushion. Does anybody have any questions on water and sewer?
No.
Okay, then what we consider the SERF fund or sewer expansion reserve fund. Again, running slightly above what we had budgeted for the year, so we. And that's really, again, this is one of those that's linked into building activity, and the funding source for this is system development fees that are charged on new construction.
Right, which got decimated by the legislature 3 years ago or something?
Yeah, a number of years ago it was $2,500, and now it's $592. Probably
right.
Within the next year or so, I'll go back and kind of reassess those fees. And whether that's the appropriate amount or it needs to be something more or less. But it's something you have to revisit every few
And it's years. A calculation, right? So
Correct.
Basically you just do the numbers and here's what it's supposed to be. And it's
Right.
still going to be pretty low compared
yeah,
to
I mean,
what it used to be.
It's not like it's going to change significantly.
Right. Okay.
And then I just wanted to show the fund balance for the SERF fund. We used some of those funds back in 2017 for sewer bypass and I think some funds for the pump station capital project. But since then, we've been, you know, slowly building up that reserve fund. But again, I mean, this is solely for improvements, repairs, whatever, to the sewer system.
It's improvements, not just repairs, right? You can't do a standard repair with this.
It's not for regular just maintenance, but right. Let's say repair, let's say we had storm damage or whatever, we could take funds from here to...
Okay, so not maintenance, but something extraordinary.
Correct.
Or for an expansion. So if, right. if like Carolina Beach expands the sewer plant, you could use this for Curie Beach's portion of that.
Right.
Okay.
Just like the two most recent uses were the sewer bypass, that capital expenditure and,
right.
and also the pump station that was built.
Okay, thanks.
So any questions on the SURF fund? So next, I just wanted to do the annual report to council on the our minimum fund balance policy, and that's been in place since January 2012. And it's really just making sure that we maintain at least a fund balance of 32% of our total projected expenditures for the governmental funds, which are the general stormwater, PAL, beach protection, and federal asset forfeiture funds. So slide 37 just shows how the different components of our governmental funds. And there's really three main components. I mean, restricted, so, and there's three sections within that, but can only be used for the stated purpose. So whether that's the, for example, the streets as our PAL bill money can only be used for street-related expenditures. The federal asset forfeiture that we spoke about before can only be used by the police department for certain expenses. And then there's a calculation that's required by state statute to make sure that we have sufficient reserves set up side for at least 1 month's worth of expenditures, plus other outstanding liabilities that we have. We have two categories that are considered assigned. We have money that's assigned to beach protection, and then our stormwater fund balance is considered an assigned balance. It's what the funds that council has assigned to a specific area. And what's left over is considered unassigned. So we've seen, you know, some great growth in what's considered unassigned. So this table just shows, you know, where we stand in relation to our policy. So that we see when we first implemented the policy, we were not where we wanted to be in fiscal year 2011. Since that point in time, we followed down the unrestricted, which is really what the policy deals with, and how do we unrestricted balance in relation to expenditures going well above where we need to be, which is a great thing. Has been some fluctuation in there, but really it will be used in particular stormwater funds for capital expenditures. Does anybody have any questions on the minimum fund balance policy and where we stand? So that was kind of looking forward. And some of these things we've looked at earlier today, but I didn't know if the council just wants to take a look again at the various five-year capital plans that the department heads contributed and or provided the input for. This one relates to the general fund. I know we spoke about certain things with the public works and police and fire earlier today, but then I don't know if anyone has any questions on anything that appears here?
I think we're good. So the only one that you haven't read, I just highlight to council, that's the one that we're talking about pulling in a year, right, when you get to your next part?
Right.
Right on the public works building?
Right.
I had emailed council about that, so I guess our one's moving to that next, but that's the only one that's moving in.
And we already addressed this from last slide, so this is just the amount of paving expenses that may have to be come out of the general fund rather than the PAL bill fund. This was the five-year capital plan that for the water and sewer fund. Jimmy covered the majority of this earlier today. I don't know if anyone has any questions about this. You'll see a couple items late reference there to potential funding source of American Rescue Plan funds. We'll talk about that in just, you know, a little while, what that means. questions on that one?
No.
Slide 43 is the five-year capital plan for the stormwater fund. I think we also talked about this one earlier. I did make a note down there at the bottom that I know there's some discussions going on about a stormwater pipe behind Settlers, you know, and I just was making that clear that that's, that's not included here. I guess, you know, until we get approval to go ahead and do that, then it would be added on here, you know, and we have to recognize that in our future planning then. Any questions about any of the capital plans?
Jimmy, over there near the Baptist Church when we have flooding and stuff, is there a stormwater project that we need? Do we need to do anything, you know, kind of right there at the intersection of, what's that, H?
That's I Avenue to the Baptist Church.
No, I, not I. J.
J.
6th and J?
Mm-hmm.
Anything would be like a spotlight house project that
okay.
maybe increase the pipe size or something like that.
I didn't know if that's something from the flooding, because we always get a call about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we do, but you know, I mean, we do clean it out, we do maintain it, we do hook up pumps to help that issue out, so.
Okay, and it doesn't happen but a couple of times.
Right, yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, so it drains over through the ditch that goes through the disc golf. I've walked that.
Yeah, we walked some of it.
Yeah, yeah. Which goes all the way back and then goes to H Avenue right by the lagoon.
Yeah, the deeper you get, the kind of thinner that ditch gets back.
Right. There. And I don't know if we could dig it down if it'd help anything or not, honestly, because there's not the drop.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Now. I just thought about that. Sorry.
No, that's good.
All right, so next I'm just going to go through some projections for to kind of cover through the period of fiscal year 2027. We'll start with the general fund. And I have a number of assumptions up there. I'm not going to read through every one of them, but it's really just looking at what is our revenue, what average increases in revenue, average increases in operating expenses, and then I made some adjustments for some unique situations, I guess, that have occurred. This one also does not consider any type of tax increase. Doesn't consider any additional headcount, increases to headcount, except factoring in the two positions that were added in the fire department this current year. You know, it takes information from the five-year capital plan, you know, based on capital expenditures and also for projected debt service. So taking all those things into account, I mean, things look fairly optimistic over that one thing I will just say that, you know, for a number of the years as we get out to like fiscal year, you know, 25, 26, the potential increase to reserves is not a significant amount of money, but the good thing is it's still positive. But I will say these are only projections based on trends, and, you know, anything could, I guess, in particular, negatively impact this. A storm, for example, with some, you know, significant damages to the town, could have a, you know, definitely change these projections.
Arlen, as I look down here, are you looking at 370,500 for parking across all years, or are you taking that up 1.75?
I am taking that up. 1.75
each year.
But I did make the adjustment to account for like a full year to start with.
So sure. Sure.
That's good.
Okay.
It's always awesome how you do this, Arlen, because it lets us see where we are.
Sure.
And projects out, which is really good.
This is actually the best one we've seen.
No, this is the best one we've seen.
Yeah, usually there's a lot more.
Yeah, usually you're a lot more pessimistic.
Well, Jimmy and I may be helping you when we finally review staffing, so we'll help you out a little bit, Arlen.
So all I did on this next one, again, is still the general fund, but all I did was factor in well to maybe make that potential increase to reserves slightly higher, you know, if there was factored in a property tax increase. And That's just one revenue source that probably brings in the most revenue, so that's why I use this one. But there could be a number of other things that could be adjusted to, whether it be any type of fees that we charge, whether it be a good example, you know, garbage collection fees or any of those types. Changes to the paid parking program could also impact these. But I really just showed it with a increase in property, the property tax rate, one in fiscal year 2025 and one in 2027.
This also assumes no increase to debt service?
That's all factored in here. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And that's assumed, you know, again, I make assumptions based on the plan, what we would finance and not finance.
Sure.
Right. Yeah.
That's why you'll see a line on there that, you know, capital outlay not finance can vary significantly from year to year because there's some things it's like it just really doesn't make sense to finance.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So this is the water and sewer fund, again, the same concept. Looked at initially the trends over a 10-plus year time period on how much revenue increases and expenses increases. And here also, we're in the green most months, or most years, I'm sorry. But the thing I'll say with that, even here, it's not showing much of an increase to reserves. In fact, it would be that we're not even covering our depreciation expense, which runs about, at this point, about $150,000. So it's, even though it looks promising, it's not as good as it appears as we look at it, even though only one year is in the red, but the others really are not adding enough to our reserve, capital reserves. So what I did was, slide 47 shows a couple of different rate increases, and to simplify it, I just went with like across the board increases. You know, I know we may tailor this if need be when we get to the budget process and looking at rate years. It's just made simple assumptions of a for three different years a 5% rate increase. And by doing that, we show that in most years from 2023 to 2027, excepting just one year, we are at least as much as our annual depreciation in regard to a reserve contribution. But again, this is all subject, just as we spoke about with the general fund, to anything that could change in regard to storms, et cetera.
Arlen, this set of numbers is just an increase in the rates. It does. Did you plan into this an extra 30 homes each year?
In a way, that's included in that revenue increases.
Okay.
I have it at a 3-4%. So that's really, it's included there.
Okay.
So any questions on water and sewer projections? I thought I'd just show this very quickly. It's just the different utility providers in New Hanover County, and I kind of updated it. I think I showed this last year too. At four different usage levels, you know, where they can do it, where the different utilities come in as to what they charge customers. And I think the picture here that to make clear is that at the lower levels, you know, Curie Beach is giving the best value for the dollar, I guess. And it's not until we get probably around 12,000 to 13,000 gallons, and I use the example of 15,000 here, that we actually become the higher prices of anyone. So, and again, that's part of the, as we all know, our philosophy in regard to the high users, you know, pay the higher rates.
No, that's awesome. This is a great graph, right?
I like that.
What it does show, which I'm surprised by, is I'm not as mad as Carolina Beach as I normally am.
Looks
they're
like
doing
they
a better job than I realized they were. We need to tell Riceville Beach.
Although Carolina Beach has closed the gap a lot.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, did they change their rates then?
Yeah.
And we just missed?
They have, I think as part of the bond issuance that they had a number of years back, they're locked into certain rate increases every year. They have to.
But they're across the board or they scale? Because
I think they're more across the board, which... Again, based on, they don't have the same exact structure that we do. I think they basically have one tier. You know, once they go over their minimum, there's only one tier.
Right.
But it's because of the increases there that, you know, again, it's closing the gap a little bit.
Okay.
Our rights fees so is Cape Fear.
Yeah, I know. How is rights on Cape Fear? I guess they charge an upcharge.
Yeah, they're going to go completely.
Because their sewer, yeah. They're doing their sewer, right? Cape Fear Public Utilities is only their water, right?
Not their sewer also, I believe. They just switched, I think.
Huh.
I think they're going strictly to Cape Fear, too.
But some of these, again, we're looking here at, you know, residential. You get some of these others. You know, Cape Fear has a lot of industrial, commercial.
Right.
You know, we're looking. These are just residential rates, is what I know.
Okay.
Put out there, but
that's interesting.
What's the typical residential uses? Which column are they buying all day?
For here.
Mm-hmm. It's bimodal.
I'm going to say probably around the 3,000 gallons a month is probably, but it's so skewed because some homes have, one month they could have 15,000, if it's a rental property, the next month they could have 1,000, depending on the time of the year.
Yeah, so Jim, if you were to graph it, ours is really two peaks. There's the full-time retirees that are the lower group, it's bimodal, and then there's the rental properties that are this huge higher side, right? So if you put all the data together, it meshes that out. But if you separate them that way, you see the two peaks really clearly. Cool. Thanks, Earl.
Any questions on that? So then we'll move on to the stormwater fund and just the projection to 2027 for that fund. And we made some rate increases the past 2 years. That are helping to rebuild that fund balance after we used a lot of it for capital projects. We do see a decrease in fund balance projected for 2023, but for most other years, you know, I think depending on what type of projects come up, we should be in good shape. But again, it's very dependent on this one in particular, on capital projects and the needs that may. Appear very quickly and unplanned for in some cases. So.
I think Jimmy's got like four or five that we have planned in the next year, and we'll see where they go on this. But I think you're right on.
And everything that was in his 5-year capital plan is
in here. So. Okay, nice.
Good.
So this one I didn't actually do with additional with any type of fee increase or whatever because it just didn't seem necessary right at this point. Any questions on the stormwater fund projections?
No.
And then I just wanted to show what the stormwater fee is for the different localities in New Hanover County based on 3,000 square foot of impervious surface. So you see it's kind of all over the place a little bit, but we don't have the highest rate.
Is that monthly or yearly?
That is monthly.
Monthly, okay. I should have known that.
So what's the county? Doesn't the county have a rate now, too?
I didn't put that in here because it's very, it's only for the unincorporated area, and I forget what it is. I mean, right off the top of my head. But
they do have one. We can add it.
I could add it on here. It was one that they were going to do, and then they delayed it, I believe, because of COVID. And
okay.
I think it went into, this current fiscal year, maybe is the first.
I think that's right. Yeah.
Unincorporated area. But yeah, for the future, I could add that on. Any questions on that?
Looking better and better.
Yeah, I thought I'd just throw this out. I know that there's, you know, we always like to know about what we have in outstanding debt. These are based on the capital plan and what I think we're going to finance, what we actually have in outstanding loans right now. And as you see, you know, the trend is to the number will come down that we have in regard to outstanding debt. Even though I'll also say we don't have a problem anywhere close to any type of problem with the amount of debt that we have. We're well within any type of requirements. In fact, what's considered our legal debt limit is about $93 million. So. We're well within any, you know, there's really no point of concern for any of this.
So did you say this includes the 5-year projected capital plan?
Yeah.
So the fire truck and all the other stuff is in here already?
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah, everything that was on that five-year plan that I would, at that point, determine would probably be something we could, we would want to finance.
So this would not include any discussion we have about the Public Works property yet?
Correct. What this actually shows,
it does.
What this actually shows is I did not consider that grant when I put this together, and right. I considered that it would be 100% financed.
Yeah, so it shows $450,000 of debt
right,
yeah. in this.
This
yeah, it does.
Okay.
And some
good.
Of it. So if we used what we propose, well, I guess, or I was getting ready to get to the American Rescue stuff, that would cut in half. So this would drop by 200,000.
Yeah.
Right.
Because we'd use that instead of debt. And Jimmy and I are not sure that's a real number with everything that's happened out in space, because he made that number 2 years ago, and we all know what building materials have done. So we got to get permission from council and then go out and figure out what the real number is, and then see if we tolerate that number or not.
Right. And some of these particular, you know, in particular, let's say the fire engine, but the exact timing when we would actually be able to hold for that.
Right.
Mentioned earlier, what is kind of like prepay or don't prepay? And, you know,
10% is pretty strong.
Right. Oh, no, I know some of that would depend on what would the work out with the bank in regard to kind of like prepaying before we actually have the asset, too. So,
right.
So, so all those things are accommodated the best they can, but, you know, again, I think the important thing is, you know, the trend is downward. There's one little spike, a little bit of a spike in 2023, but I think that really was where I put the fire engine purchase, which I think kind of heard isn't necessarily going to happen probably in that year. But
right.
So any questions on that?
Did you split the building half and half between general and water and sewer?
Public Works? So
yeah.
Right now?
Just for this, just for interest.
For this, I did not.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
I kept it all in the general fund.
Okay, that's fine. Cool. Just for interest. Yeah.
Good.
No, it's a great way to show that even though people think we just go in debt, all of our plans show us retiring debt over the next 5 years, which is awesome.
And I think our
great job by the department heads.
Our amount of debt is really not significant compared to, you know, the size of the town, and, you know, also looking at the terms that we've received over the last few years, you know, we're very low interest loans that we have. So.
Yeah, good presentation, actually.
So the last thing I just wanted to put up here was the what everybody loves, the proposed budget calendar for this upcoming, for this next budget year.
I only have problems with one date on there, April 11th. I'll be out of town.
You want to move it to Friday? When will you be back?
We could make it Friday before, if that works for everybody.
Yeah, we could probably make that work. The Friday, what would be Friday the 15th is a good Friday, so we're closed that day.
We said the Friday before.
Well, I was going to say we could.
Yeah.
That would be the 6th.
8th.
The 8th.
That's too far out, but I'll make it work, right? Thank you for picking Mondays and Fridays.
Yeah.
That's very helpful.
And the best that we can do to, you know, accommodate, you know, it's makes the planning, you know, process that much easier or whatever. I just wanted to make sure council still, we're still going to do the outside agency funding request, so I'll. That will make sure it goes on the website, I guess, on Monday.
We have contacts. Can we send them a note and say, hey, get it in? So, because we come around after the fact anyway, and council then hoses you because we tell you to do it anyway. So.
Yeah, I can look at who submitted things last year.
Great.
I do need a motion to be able to schedule those three meetings.
So I'll make a motion we accept this with the exception of changing April 11th to April the 8th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes.
Thank you.
And I'll just say for department heads, you know, try to get you your initial packages by next Thursday, and then expect them back by Thursday, March 10th, if not even sooner. would be ideal, but at least by that date.
Councilman Hagler mentioned a third meeting. Is that the last one?
That's the public hearing. What? That will be in June. The public hearing.
Do we have
a, I mentioned
June 6th.
Okay.
You're good.
I didn't know I mentioned it, but okay.
Yeah, you scheduled all three.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, the public, we just kind of kept in the same timeline as what we normally do, the amount of time after the budget was presented to the main council meeting. So, all right, so that's all I have at this point on all of this.
Good.
We need to take a break.
Okay, so we've got...
Arlen called us up.
Yep, nice Arlen's job. Finished up for now. We got, let's take a natural break here for...
You're on schedule now.
You're on schedule now.
Till 2:45. 2:45, so recess.
Thank you.
Need to go cut.
Okay, return from recess. Next item is... Use of the American Rescue Plan funds and state capital and infrastructure funds. So, Arlen, teach us.
Well, I'm not so sure about that, but I'll tell you what I know. I'm not sure how much I'm going to teach you. But,
all right.
But anyway, we'll start with the American Rescue Plan. And what you see on slide 2 is the actual components of the American Rescue Plan Act. We're really only going to focus on number one up there, which is the Coronavirus State Local Fiscal Recovery Fund, because that's where the funding that we're receiving is coming from. All those others, you know, some of us have benefited from, I guess, in certain ways, you know, stimulus checks, whatever, but there's been many different programs that are part of the American Rescue Plan Act, but again, the one we need to focus on is just that first one. I will say we need to develop a plan, I guess, on how we're going to use our funds, and all of these things have to be documented, kind of what our thought process was from the beginning to, you know, again, how we're going to spend all the funds. Because of the size of our allocation, we only have to report annually. So our first report is due April 30th. Even if we haven't spent a penny, we still have to go through the reporting process. It'll cover the period through March 31st, but it's due by to the U.S. Treasury by April 30th. And there's a whole convoluted reporting process to go through and a portal. You know, it's a very tedious thing. But anyway, we'll be doing that once a year. So the whole act is about $1.47 trillion, I guess, and again, we'll focus on that first part, the $350 billion coronavirus state local fiscal recovery fund. So I'm just throwing out some basic. When it first came out, this is what it listed as the goals. Can't remember if that's supposed to say goals of the of this part of the American Rescue Plan. Just to address the public health issues, negative economic impacts because of the pandemic, compensate for most lost local government revenue, aid for low-income areas and populations, and then longer-term investments in infrastructure, primarily water, sewer, stormwater, and broadband. These things have evolved over from the time this was first came out, and the Treasury just issued their final rules on all of this just in the early part of January. There was something they called the interim rules, which people were following until the final rules came out. So we'll kind of go through that, but I thought first of just this is what we have received today and should be receiving. So in July, we received the first half of our allocation, our total allocation, $668,627. We received the first installment in July of 2021. We should be receiving the second part in July of 2022, but we'll know that when it's in the bank, exactly the timing of that and whether that amount changes at all. There was discussion that it should not go down, but if some cities, states, counties, whatever
decline some of their funding. It could increase the second allocation. I don't anticipate that happening, but I'll just throw that out there. So hopefully that is what we would receive probably sometime in July 2022, the second part of that. So the final rules, these are kind of the eligible use categories. So the first one is replace lost public sector revenue. Second is support the COVID-19 public health and economic response. Third is to provide premium pay for eligible workers performing essential work. And the fourth category is invest in water, sewer, and broadband infrastructure. So when we do our reporting, again, there's all kinds of things, but they have to eventually come into these four categories. And then within these categories, there's, you know, hundreds of different refinements within those categories that we have to report. So I just thought I'd kind of briefly say what each one of those categories, what does that mean? And this is the strangest one so far, because it kind of sounds like it should be straightforward, and it was really, there was a whole calculation that the U.S. Treasury put out there to determine whether you had a revenue loss, and it was not only, you know, you had to project the 4 years up until, I think, December of 2026. So the comments they got back was that it was too complicated. So they came up with an alternative. So they came up with a standard allowance of up to $10 million, but not to exceed the amount that you earn. So for us, that would be $668,000. So if you elect, for this category, if you elect the standard allowance and you're below 10, you can count the whole thing and say we can say we had $668,000 of revenue loss when we actually had revenue gain. But
right.
That's the way this was written, I guess.
Do they not at least have you have to attest that you lost? That's horrible.
That's just a standard allowance that they'll allow up to
freaking
that
government.
No proof that you actually lost revenue. Now, it doesn't mean that you can just use it for anything. And it doesn't mean you don't have to account for it and follow every other rule. It just opened this category up to a lot more availability. And I think they said they also did it, one, because it was too complicated. And then two is it allowed the funds to be used for more types of things. So anyway, so that is a category that we could use if we wanted to. And we'll go through the others, but
so just like what you said in all the 52 slides from before, we didn't really lose public sector revenue in Curie Beach, and so we're not using this one, in my opinion, unless
right,
you guys got to have three votes
right, and it's,
around me.
And I don't think we should. And it's kind of weird. It's like, so what can you, like it says for funding for government services.
Yeah, no.
So it's like, okay, well, what are government services? And they say, well, traditionally things like road construction and maintenance and other infrastructure, general government expenses, environmental remediation, provision of police, fire, and other public service, safety services, including purchase of fire trucks and police vehicles. So there's a whole range of things, but it made a broader usage, I guess, and allowed more, you know, cities and counties and whatever to use the funds in a different way.
Okay.
So that's one category.
But because we got more money in 21 than 20 during the pandemic.
Yes.
Could we make a case that we would have gotten even more?
No.
I don't think we look to get worse.
There's other categories that apply, so I think we should move on.
Our allocation is our allocation. This is just. And that was a whole different process how they did that.
Right.
So this is just, okay, how can we spend the money, basically?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I'm not even going to focus on this one very much, because a lot of these things, because we're a town in North Carolina, we can't even do some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, these rules are for, you know, countrywide or whatever, but, you know, this was to kind of take care of, if we had a hospital or whatever, you know, something, some of these things like a county can use. And you've probably seen some of the programs that the county has put out.
Right.
That'll help in some of these cases, but a lot of these are, you know, specific for, you know, public health type of things. And then the economic harm part, you know, certain things you can do to help small businesses or nonprofits or, you know, certain industries. But again, we're restricted in how we can use the money. And even though $668,000 may sound like a lot of money for certain, it's not, you know, it's not, not a city that's getting $50 million or so again, you know, some of these things just don't apply. A lot of these are only in what they call qualified census tracts, so basically lower income areas that you can use the money. So there's so many restrictions here. I would say that, you know, this isn't very likely for us to spend much time on, or that we could, you know, allocate any funds to this category, in my opinion. So the next one is to provide premium pay for eligible workers performing essential work. So this could be something that if we wanted to look at, we could. There's just a lot of different things that come into play. One, we have to say, we have to determine based on the rules who's an eligible worker. Then we have to determine whether what they're doing is essential work. And that includes things like, it can't be that anybody worked from home. You know, it has to be that they were on site, in-person interactions with the public, or regular handling of items that were handled by or to be handled by the public. Then you get into the next thing about, as you see the down there at the bottom, about the other treasury requirements, that it has to be at or below 150% of the residing state or county's average annual wage. So there's other calculations that have to come into play to determine if we have people that we want to potentially give this to, do they actually qualify? So we have, I didn't go through those steps at this point because I didn't know if it was even a direction that council wanted.
Can we find out if people qualify? So just like we did in, when did we do the COVID bonus? That was in 2020, right? December 2020, right? So a year and a month, 2 months ago now. I'd be interested if they qualify for this, which of our employees or all our employees. And it sounds like it's a two-part qualification. One is, do they qualify for what their job did?
Right.
And then the second one, do they qualify for whatever the 150% of the residing, I guess, county wage? So you'd have to find out that number for New Hanover County, I assume,
right,
and see if we're below it or not. Because it's all wages, too, which is very weird. So I don't even know where you get that number from.
There's also limitations on it. Can't exceed something like $13 an hour. It can't be more than $25,000 per person. There's a couple of
things
that have been put up here, too. So.
Well, I'm not thinking of $25,000, but what I was thinking of is for 2021, how many hours, and then you tell us what employees meet the gates, right? I know it's a little work for probably you and whoever HR is, I guess, right, to figure out. But if the wage and the average wage for all occupations in New Hanover County, I don't know what that, I can't even fathom what that number is. So I don't know whether anyone applies or not, right?
Right.
Because that's every like minimum wage worker in New York County too, right? And there's a bunch of those.
Yeah, that would be all the wages divided by all the workers.
Doing what across the board?
Doing a pay across the board, a bonus across the board.
Are they funding it out of here?
Most of it, I think, is funded out of here, and then a portion they added from their general fund for those.
I believe that third and emergency personnel got a little bit more, and then all town staff.
And they funded part of town staff out of general fund just to be in across the board.
So they wouldn't get in trouble, right? So
To be fair.
If anybody worked from home,
they had that too, and they still got it.
They don't qualify. So.
Well, I'm just interested. Okay, well, I'd like to do the math, but I'm not proposing we do $300,000 of this funding for that, because I really think, you know, when you move on, that our water and sewer and stormwater systems could use some upgrading, right? So I think from my perspective, that's what I'm going to try to encourage council to do. But we did not do a bonus or a recognition in 2021. And this is a potential opportunity for council to consider doing it with. But we got to know, do we even fit the rules or not?
And
right?
That's why I didn't want to, until I got the direction before I...
No, that's fine. Yeah, don't do the work until, and maybe the rest of council like, no way, we're not there. They may not agree with me, right? So, but my input is I'd like to know if we could do something, then council talks about it. Because we have $600,000 that the federal government has sent to Curie Beach. There's guidelines around how we use it. And we have till 2025 to spend it, right? Or 2026.
We have until December 2024, so I'll cover that in a little bit, but to actually commit the funds to something.
Right.
And then we have until December 2026 to actually fully expend everything.
So. And I think we pull in or look at water and sewer issues, but at the same time, if... Just like we did in 2020, my thoughts are we would recognize our employees for all the work they did with COVID with a small portion of this, right? Because what did we spend for that bonus in 2020? It was from federal money too, right?
It was a $500 net for all full-time employees.
Right.
And then I think $250.
So it was like $10,000 or $15,000 total?
Do you remember that?
Rough.
I'm going to say it was more like overall was about 30,
okay.
30 plus, mm-hmm. because you had to factor in not just the pay, but the, you know, FICA taxes and retirement and all of that had to be.
So that's 5% of, that would be 5% if we did something similar, right? But I think the majority, and council, I'm talking a lot and you guys aren't, but I just think the majority of this we should use for the fourth category because that's the smartest place to use it long-term for the citizens. But I think from my perspective, just like in 2020, our staff interfaced with the public and the public didn't really notice COVID was going on from the governmental standpoint, which was all our employees interacted with them, right? Their trash got picked up the entire time. If they had a health issue, the fire department showed up, the police was there, staff did all the stuff that we do. Even recreation had plenty of stuff going on, right? Mm-hmm. Every person that wanted to build a house, the building inspections department let them build their house. So that's kind of my mind, right?
Well, I'm not opposed to doing something for staff. I don't know if it's worth the effort to do it out of this funding. We ought to put this money towards it.
Okay, just use general funds so we don't have to deal with all the... All the reporting. Okay.
That makes sense too, right? I'm trying to see who qualifies and what doesn't.
Yeah, I mean.
I'll still kind of investigate, you know, try to gather the information just to let you know.
Yeah. But I think Alan might have been even smarter. Hey, don't waste Arlen's time and we'll address it separately. Okay, I hear you.
I'd like to know maybe what other places are doing, but if, you know, if we're going down the direction.
I'll search on a clerk's listserv and see what other towns have done and send that to you too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for doing something. I agree with David 100% that our staff did a one heck of a job during all this time. Not only from providing the services, but keeping themselves safe. And we need to reward that. But to not muddy the water, this is complicated enough as it is. To keep from trying to figure out what's 150% of the eligible workers or what rates.
But some of it may not, you know, if you wanted to go that direction, I just didn't take the time at this point.
But
it may, in some ways, it may be more straightforward to use this money than, because then some of the reporting requirements are pretty simple or whatever once we determine, you know, what's 150% of the. So I would say initially let me try to gather that information.
Yeah.
Okay.
You tell us which way is better. I think Alan's got a great point, though. I don't want you wasting your time when we've got plenty of water and sewer issues that we can use all of this for, and then it comes out of general fund and makes it simpler for you and staff and council. Great proposal, Alan.
I'll try to invest very little time and try to just come up with that, you know,
preliminary. Yep. So. Okay.
And all
also say with that, it doesn't have to be paid out in a lump sum. You can add something to every paycheck or pay it out. You know, if, you know, again, I know we're probably not talking about huge amounts of money, so a lump sum would be much easier.
Right.
Payroll perspective.
We would like to help your staff, yeah. And people appreciate lump sums, too. They understand them.
Mm-hmm.
So then the other category, the last category, is that investment in water, sewer, and broadband, and that it was expanded to things like stormwater also. And it was really looked at that there was probably deferred maintenance, you know, because, again, we don't necessarily completely fit that category, but lost revenue, so you weren't investing in the maintenance of your systems. But I think it was also that just overall, there's just major issues with water and sewer infrastructure throughout the country, even before the pandemic. So this was to provide ways to address some of those issues. And it really was the best way they said it, if a project is eligible under the EPA's Clean Water Safe Revolving Fund or the EPA's Drinking Water Safe Revolving Fund, then it would qualify to be used for these purposes. Anything that would be identified or would be covered by those?
Well, so a question on that one. So would that include the system that pre-treats water going to the ocean?
Yes. And the reason it would, and that's part of that second part where they added on a couple other things, but in particular, that system is called... lost my train of thought, but water quality.
Yep. No.
So initially they were saying with stormwater, just related to movement of water, it didn't qualify. But now I think it does actually, because they added some of those other things like culvert repair, resizing.
Is that where we've applied for the grants for that revolving fund for the dune infiltration?
Is that
dune infiltration system that didn't we apply for a grant and we were turned down a couple
years ago? That was something else.
Yeah, it's not with this, but he said that would apply. So I think that's interesting.
I think that's
interesting.
Very.
Yeah, I do too. I don't think we can do all 15 of them, but if we did a couple of those with some of this, I think that would be a good thing.
What about the, Jim, you talked about replacing the storm drain covers. Does that apply here?
I have a couple things that we...
Yeah, we have some stuff that we were proposing.
Okay.
We talked about earlier this week.
I'm saying if we need to grab a lot of different things.
Some potential projects. So I just wanted to, before I got to that, it's like, so what can't you use it for is, I guess, important things or whatever. So it's like if you can't cut your tax rate and then make up the difference with these funds.
Fair enough,
so that's that'll get us in trouble very quickly.
You have to raise them right back.
You can't use this to catch up if, you know, some states are way behind in the funding of pension plans. You can't use it to help to make a dent in that deficit. You can't use this to pay any debt service or to add to your reserves. You can't use it to satisfy a settlement or judgment. And in the catch-all, it's like it can't conflict with anything in the American Rescue Plan Act.
Okay.
So they're ineligible, just overriding ineligible uses.
Good.
And this is actually the timeline for all of this. You know, that this act became effective March 3rd, 2021. So the first distribution, you know, we got in the summer of 2021 in July. Second one should be this upcoming summer. And as I mentioned a little while ago, all funds have to be obligated by December 31st, 2024. And they have to be fully spent by December 31st, 2026.
Okay.
If they're not, then they have to be returned.
Fair enough. Okay.
So, I forget which day now, Tuesday, I think David, mm-hmm. Jimmy, Ian, and I met, and Jimmy and Ian had put together a list of some potential water and sewer projects. We kind of talked about them, and I'll let these other guys talk about that, but you know, we kind of identified some that were maybe good possibilities for the use of some of these funds.
Right. Jimmy, I think that's you, man.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's right, you're up. I was going to let you
on the project.
Okay, as I said before, you know, earlier I reached out to a couple of companies about moving water lines out to the front, you know, but... then we got to thinking about, well, it's going to be a cost to the resident,
as far as tying back in, so we went back to doing the line behind. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the well house rehab, this money can go toward well house rehab, it can go toward some of the water line rehab out back. You know, we can, you know, get some temporary help to come in and help us, you know, dig and stuff like that. You know, have them come in and dig, and we can just replace the line and hook the lines and services back up in house like that.
I thought the direction was going to be to contract it out to someone.
Right.
But it doesn't mean if it has to be done in house. I mean, again, I don't know what the costs are going to be, but we would have to be very meticulous in keeping right. track of our time, materials, and whatever else. So in order to put together what it really costs in order to apply for this category, it doesn't mean not to.
Yeah.
But you know, we'd have to.
Well, I think as we look through, we're in the budget process, right? We're just starting it off. This is a potential source of funding that we can apply once we define it better, right? And I think what Harlan says, we have to have our first report the end of March, right?
Yeah, and it could even be that we don't...
Right, we're still working through our budget process, right?
But I think we, you know, my thought with this too is that we don't want to keep putting it off. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. we need to come up with a plan.
No, exactly right. Yeah.
Us having City Works too now, we can make a project and have hours, time, and material,
right.
and everything programmed and printed off to where I have copies of it to submit to.
Yeah.
So that would be great.
So go to the next slide, because I think Jimmy's already talked about all these as we talked.
Mm-hmm. So
we're just highlighting that we could, in the budgeting process, instead of taking them out of water and sewer, put them to this fund stream.
Right, and the other one that was a good possibility, the transportation consultant area.
So I think what Harlan's highlighting is as we work through the budget process, the water and sewer rate that he showed you earlier is possible, even though he highlighted it was a little bad, right? If you remember in the third year, mm-hmm. it went negative. This wasn't included, and as we went through the budget process, he'll revise that based on what we can allocate to this if council agrees this is the right place for it to go. And then the one thing I didn't know about until Arlen just said it when we talked on Tuesday, we should probably consider, do we want to do one or two of those outfalls to another cleaning system like we have right between K and L. So I think the engineering company identified two places to the south,
yes.
that the dunes were wide enough we could put them in.
Mm-hmm.
We've said we want to do that for a long time, but we've never got grants. We could consider that as part of this and identify those as projects,
right.
which would probably make, it wasn't Camel, but who were we trying to get the grant through? I can't remember.
Was it Clean Water Trust Fund?
I think it was the Clean Water Trust Fund. I think you're right. And so, you know, we might leverage this to get this be our portion if we can convince them a lower level grant. So we should probably.
Or a lot of local governments are going to their state leaders or representatives and asking for funds to be earmarked in the budget. I mean, Carolina Beach got a ton of money this year,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't get anything.
Yeah, so
because
I mean,
we didn't ask.
So I think if we said, what I would propose is we investigate saying we're going to do. We got to look back at the engineering study, but I think there were two that the land supported, if I remember correctly. I don't know if anybody else remembers.
I believe you're right.
The dune, because I don't want us trying to buy property or anything, but if there's two that we already have the property, that would be a great one for us to consider as well. And I'm sure the engineering company would update the cost for that so we'd have a good amount. And then the rest we just allocate to the right projects within water and sewer that makes sense.
Wasn't that
it
the
was
grant?
Actually NC State.
Wasn't that the grant that Nancy applied for right when she was doing her contract
yes.
work for?
Yes.
Yeah, we've applied for it a couple of times. Yep.
NC State did the engineering work, so.
Right.
Question.
Yes.
Just because I'm ignorant on the point, what is the dune infiltration system?
So we have 13 outfalls that go straight from 421 to the ocean. Basically, they're just open pipes. Yeah, we did a project with NC State, a demonstration project with NC State, an engineering firm, between K and L Avenue. So if you go walk on the boardwalk and look over, you see some PVC pipes sticking up in the air. And basically, it treats the first inch and a half of water before it overflows. And so basically, there's big baffled tanks underneath the dune line that the water goes through. And that purifies, not the right word, but lets it holds, settle out.
It holds the water, lets it trickle down through this.
Right.
Thank you.
It's like a foot and a half of gravel sitting down in there, too. Yeah. So I actually got to see one of the very last ones built.
Yeah.
Gravel and corrugated.
So, I mean, if council thinks that's a viable thing, I'd like us to get some cost information and say some of this we're going to work with that.
Well, what Ellen and I have talked about going to Raleigh to see Charles and put a couple things before him. So this could be one of them.
Yeah. And then we might even, you know, leverage this money with some other money. That would be even better, right? Because that would leave more to do.
I mean, I think anything we do is going to be a positive.
Yeah.
Whether it's the lagoon or the sewer mains or whatever it is, stuff has got to be done.
Yeah.
Whatever if we can spend it all on that, I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
Because this is money we're going to have to spend. Those lines, it's not going to get any better.
Right.
Well, look, we get it in two pieces.
Right.
The stuff that needs to be done very quickly on your list, obviously we could take a look at using that first payment for that. Second payment we can use,
maybe the dunes.
Might change direction. That might be a dunes thing if we can't get a result on it.
And with all this, we just have to remember it's federal money, so we have to follow all
yes.
of those procedures
right.
and actually and make sure that Jim is in the loop day one in regard to contracting and all of that, because there are definitely different procedures we have to follow.
Well, and that's the reason we should pick a couple of big projects instead of a bunch of little ones, because then we'll drive staff crazy, right? So ideally, we would try to make it as few big projects as we could so that the reporting doesn't become painfully onerous to him. Plus, all the federal buying stuff guidelines, in addition to North Carolina guidelines, which they don't always overlap very well, could be aggravating too if you do it to four different projects versus one or two.
They do what they call the most restrictive. So in North
right.
Carolina, if the state purchasing requirement is more restrictive than the federal, then you have to follow the state.
I doubt that.
That's just the things to take into account. You know, there's also different lower limits for the federal money when you have to do a whole competitive bidding process too. So there's all the different factors to take into account.
Harlan, did you say you're going to be attending a seminar on Rescue Act requirements?
Karen and I actually did one a couple months ago that was 6 days, spread over 6 days. So,
do you know now, or do we need to be thinking ahead as to the contract template, all the required?
Yeah, I can get some of that off of. School of government. There's also some other policies that are going to bring to council that have to be approved that we have to have in place also.
Yeah, we can do it. It'll be comprehensive no matter how you slice it or dice it, but it certainly is worth it given what's at the other end.
But, as I said, I think if we have that game plan, and that's what it sounds like, where we're headed or whatever, because even though it sounds like a long ways out, 2024, 2026, it's really not. It's depending on the type of project and the timing of it or whatever. So, get as many things as we can get set and underway, I think the better we're going to be. Okay, my opinion is that.
Cool.
So at this point, I guess with the dune infiltration, so Jimmy's going to be getting some information, or
Yeah, so we got to pull. Mandy, can you find what we last did for the grant stuff so we have the right contacts, and then we'll get the information on costing?
Yes, I already have it.
Since we think it meets, and then as we work through the budget process, we'll work with Arlen on which other projects we think are right for this funding.
And for whatever we do with these funds, I guess, everything's going to be in a separate fund. I mean, it won't be part of water and sewer, it won't be part of the general fund. It'll be its own thing, because then we can better account for and improve how we use money.
Okay, so we'll identify the right projects.
One other question. Can you go back to your deadline slide?
Fire truck's not one of the things on there.
Yeah.
It's a vehicle.
Only in the top one where you say you lost revenue. And we're not going to lie, it's the federal government.
And you mean the one that Nancy worked on, right?
Yes.
I believe so, yes. I believe
that's right. I have it handy. I can pull it out. I actually scan it and send it to you guys.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any other questions on American Rescue Plan?
Nope.
Nice job.
No. Simple.
As soon as we have whatever we can, I can start to. There's many different templates that are out there with regard to document our decision process, I guess, so that will have to be put together. So you
summarized about 2,000 pages in five.
Well, yeah, when that final rule came out for this, it was only 650 some pages, but there's a nice 44 page summary.
So when you do the template, basically it's going to be our budget process, though, I hope, right? So you're not making new stuff?
What it's actually.
Right.
Been a little while. They've given out as a lot of these different things, whether it be a school of government that are being done, they've done many things. They kind of give out an example. Here's a good thing.
Okay. So I'm using the second one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, any questions on American Rescue Plan?
Nope.
So I guess I do, and so what do we want our next step to be? Because I guess, again, I want to make sure that we keep, is there a certain time that we want to?
So I think
there were two actions, in my opinion. One was the 150% of the average rate. Let's find out what that is. And the second one was we need to do the contact NC State. Let's see if that engineering is still accurate. And beyond that, with those two pieces of data, we can figure out where we want to use this, I guess.
Well, I think you make a project in finance for this American Rescue Fund, and you recognize the revenues, which you're already doing, I'm sure, and then put placeholders to say Project 1, Project 2, Project 3, and we're identifying them during the budget process.
Okay.
And then capture that in the notes with Mandy, so for your first report, it's like our budget process doesn't close until June 30th, but we're going to put projects in there, and if we don't use it all, we'll carry it over in that project fund, right?
Right. I mean,
reporting.
And that's not a problem. I just want to make sure that we, whatever. Mm-hmm.
Jimmy and I are going to see what the pricing is. So in our next budget meeting, we'll propose it to that project. Here's the projects we think are the right ones for this. Does council agree or not?
That's the best point.
Yep, that'll do.
All right. So if there's no other questions on American Rescue Plan, the next thing is the State Capital and Infrastructure Fund, or you'll hear it called SCIF, directed grant that we received. It was part of the state budget. A number of cities, counties, towns received funds, some of them more directed than others, some of them larger amounts. We received $250,000. Ours was from, again, the SCIF fund, and the definition of what we can use it for is right there, right from the general statutes, which is real property acquisition, new construction, or rehabilitation of existing facilities, and repairs and renovations over $100,000 in value.
There we go.
So if we stick to that criteria, we should be good.
Is that the only criteria? There's not more? That's it?
That's it.
All right.
And so I sent an email to council that my request for this would be pull in out of the 5-year plan the public works office building, which would be in 23 to this coming year and start. We have to choose where it goes by.
Well, yeah, that's
So the processes are all underway at this point. They're kind of moving quickly. So the funds need to be dispersed, not just to us, but to everybody for that's coming out of this SCIF thing by February 26th. But they can't be dispersed until we do certain things.
Right.
So the bottom part starts to list the steps that we need to do. So the first two are already done. We submitted the payment information, how to get payments to us. There had to be a certification that we have no overdue tax debt, which Craig and Allen signed that certification, and that's been submitted. There's a couple other things. One which Jim is going to talk about in just a minute, but is a conflict of interest policy. And then the other thing that David kind of just brought up, which is, okay, we need to have a scope of work. So we have to identify what we're going to use it for, and ideally have a budget and a couple. I just actually was on a call yesterday that they're saying, like, as much, kind of contradicted what they said the week before, but as much detail as you can give, the better. But if we don't have the detail to give, we can only give so much, I guess. So if we decide to use it for the public works building, we're going to have to just go in our scope of work of what we know, which will be limited information. But that should still be okay. But it gets built into the actual grant contract. So once we provide these last two things, then the grant contract can be developed and sent back to us for approval.
So my only concern is we're not going to have a budget by February 26th, right?
But we can go with our best guess.
Right. And I think, Jimmy and I need to go sit in the room with Ian and his team, right? So we haven't even started really scoping, here's all the things we really need to try to build a budget for that.
Right. But I guess also, we can't wait till the 26th. If you're really looking at it, I'm getting an email every day like, we need your scope of work
okay.
at this point. So I really need to send them something next week. And even if we say a rough guess of X dollars of that, we know that the grant isn't going to pay for the entire building.
Right.
So
that's
even
right.
if we're off that, we're still accounting for, here's how we're going to use our $250,000.
Right, right.
And, we're going to build a public works, building, offices and whatever, and we're going to, I think I saw an example in here, milestone, we'll have about project milestones along the way, and that was the example they threw out at this point.
Right.
And,
well, we can do that. So,
right.
And I think, we can give you something next week and share it with council and here's what we think, right? But realize it's going to be really rough. Because we will not talk to an architect. What will happen is I'll open the estimating software tool that I use for my other job with Jimmy and say, okay, here's the size we're going to put in. Here's the number of bathrooms. Here's the number of offices. Here's the common area. Here's the locker room, what kind of cafeteria, and it'll spit out a number, and we can say, here's the initial estimate, but that's not going to be what's in the budget estimate.
You're going to have to get an architect actually to sign that for us, aren't you?
I have estimating software I'm allowed to use, right? So I'm going to do that for this number, but then you're exactly right. Once council says yes, then what I would think the project, the way it would go forward, if we do just like we did all our other ones, we would allocate enough money to work with an architect to do a detailed design and then get bids, which the attorney would tell us we have to do. They have to understand that because every other capital project is just like that, right? Every city in North Carolina has to do it that way.
Right. You see what some towns were doing? They already had something that they could apply it to.
Right.
So, we're starting with something new, which is perfectly fine. And
right.
I think it was a good thing. And that's why we're going to be a little more, estimate-based or whatever.
Okay, that's fine.
And I think that's fine, and I'll include that with what I send. It's like, these are all preliminary estimates or whatever. And I don't think they care so much that if we have if we're doing a building, does it cost $450,000 or $500,000 in the end or 700. It's more, what do you use the 250?
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think we can do that as long as council agrees that's what they want us to do, right? But I don't have the perfect number right now, but we're still early in the budget process.
It would be easy to spend 250.
Oh, yeah.
It's easy to spend 600.
I know, yeah. I know, there you go.
Yep. It won't take long.
No, so I'm confused. Are you saying council's got to approve your estimates before you feed them to Arlen?
I would share them with Arlen and the council at the same time.
Because you'll share with council on the 24th, is that right?
I think...
I was going to do it via email,
right? To me,
because it's not requiring any action.
Okay.
Right. I think the important thing is that right now to get consensus or whatever,
right.
Whatever it needs to be.
Yeah.
Okay. We want to use these funds for this project.
Yeah, I'm requesting permission from council to build a rough estimate to provide to the state of North Carolina. That we're going to use these funds for the Public Works office building and renovating the shop so we can put our equipment in it when we move.
So it's twofold, it's a new building and renovation.
Yeah, the renovation is a lot simpler, but there's money that's going to take, right? Because all this stuff's got to go out. I don't want just Jimmy and Ian to go in with sledgehammers and all rip it out. That won't be good. They'd get it done, but that wouldn't be good.
If they're like buy a big giant tarp.
Demo day, buddy. Demo day.
There you go.
We'll have demo.
So, do I have permission from council to do that? And I'll send it to Arlen and copy council and the attorneys.
Yes. So moved.
So yeah.
Cool.
So
okay.
We have a motion.
Yes, I'll make the motion.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed.
It is one of those things that once that project's identified and included in that grant contract, that's the project.
Mm-hmm. So it might be wiser to pick a piece of that project, even though both need to get done.
Yeah, we would pick the office building.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I'll let you guys know separately, here's what we think it'll be to redo the other building, because the town's got to deal. You got to approve both, because you can't just build the office building and then, well, I guess you could, and then just leave those evacuated. But we don't want to do that. But yeah, I think the project would be to build the office building, not... To do the tear out.
When do you think you'll have that?
you turn in the table.
Tuesday or Wednesday?
Yeah.
I'm gonna work on it over the weekend, but I want to talk to Jimmy about it on Monday. How's that?
Okay. I know where to find you.
So. That's fine. Yeah.
Thank you, David. That's big. That's a big job. Okay. Messing with that.
So there was one other piece of that's up there that's still in red, which is the conflict of interest policy. So that Jim is going to.
Oh, that's what drove this. Okay.
That's what this is.
I was wondering what drove that. Okay, cool. So this is to get this money.
Well, something. I'll let Jim kind of talk on it, but that's where it started, I guess. So
fair enough. Okay, good. So, I was interested.
How do I be unconflicted, Jim? Tell me.
You all should have resolution R2201 in front of you.
Sure do.
Arlen had put me in the loop about the state budget grant. Is that the right terminology?
It's from the Office of Budget Management. It's who's administering our grant.
State grant. When I looked at the statute, one of the requirements, as Arlen points out in his PowerPoint, is for the town to provide that agency with a copy of the conflict of interest policy. That's the first point. Second point, in reviewing some drafts or templates or examples or guidance, two points became very clear. And you all know as a governing board that there's been attention placed on conflicts of interest and ethics increasingly over the past few years. But I've rarely seen a good example of it. In the times that I've had to wrestle with it on behalf of clients, it was always gray, muddy, murky, not very clear at all. The third thing that I realized in reviewing the matter and doing the research is that the town has been obligated since, I believe, 2007 to have adopted by the governing board a ethics policy. So when I reached out to get a copy of it, I learned that lo and behold, we need to fulfill that obligation. So that's why you have what's in front of you. And I think it's a pretty good policy. The statute that obligates us calls it an ethics policy, and that shows up in the second half. And that's where you just have those ethical standards that apply mostly to the governing board. But I think the meat of the policy, which would be very helpful if issues ever arise, is the conflict of interest section beginning on page 1 under section 1. I think there's some very clear guidance in there, and a lot of that comes from the 160D rewrites we did that I simply converted over to legislative, administrative, and quasi-judicial decisions under the code, not necessarily limited to development regulations. So I think this will be a very useful tool. The what really triggered the document in front of you is that some of the guidance that was received had the governing board for violations doing all kinds of powerful things, sanctioning the violator, voiding the contracts, and immediately a red flag went up because I didn't think the governing board had, that you were legally authorized to do those things. So in reviewing school of government material, that was confirmed. And one of the requirements of the policy we're required to give to the state agency is enforcement provisions. And you'll see on page 4 at the bottom that enforcement for town officials, be they elected or officials, is really limited to resolutions of censure and reprimand. And I put other any of the remedies provided by law, even though there's not any.
Page five. Enforcement.
And of course, if town employees violate, then they're subject to disciplinary actions under the personnel policy. Okay. So Arlen reviewed this, felt that it met all the requirements for the statute authorizing the state grant. You all are obligated to have such a policy, so our recommendation is that you adopt Resolution 22-01. I'd be glad to answer any questions you might have.
So I have one, and it's not detailed, it's just for interest. Is the $25 for meals, is that like the standard thing? Because it's been there forever. I mean, Corning has this policy, and it's been there for 10 or 15 years, and a $25 meal now is like barely Hardee's.
It comes out of 14234. It's right.
So it's identified in statute, and they don't have any escalation for inflation. Okay, fine. I don't have any other questions.
Mr. Attorney?
Yes, sir.
Would you recommend, just based on me being a member of the Wilmington MPO, at the beginning of each of our meetings, the chairman reads about 4 or 5 lines dealing with the ethics policy and the conflict of interest on the decisions that we may make that day. And then he goes through a roll call to each one of us, and we acknowledge that we do not, based on that agenda for that day, have a conflict of interest or any ethics violation. Should we start doing that at the council meeting?
Well, that's a policy decision you all can make, but I'll comment in this way. I've not seen that done heretofore, except for one of my clients, which is the Belleville ABC board, and that's exactly what they do. Somewhere on the agenda, probably after the adoption of the agenda, or perhaps before, the chairman asked if there's anybody that has any conflict of interest. Now, they don't go so far as to do a roll call and pin them down. It's kind of an obligation of a board member to speak up. That's an interesting thing. I don't know that it's required. It might be advisable. In order to figure out if you want to proceed in that way, you need to kind of look at what happens if you don't. And what I mean by that is, in the course of a quasi-judicial hearing, well, absent, ideally, a member is going to say, yes, I may have a conflict, or he may say, he or she may say, I might have a conflict, but I don't think I do. I have a conflict, I ask to be recused and excused. I may have a conflict, but the heck with it, I don't believe that I do. And that can be generated both by a voluntary statement by the member or by an objection coming from a party to a quasi-judicial hearing. And as set forth in our code, and also as set forth in this policy, if an objection is made, either by somebody acknowledging a potential conflict but not asking to be recused, or coming from a party in a quasi-judicial, then what would happen is, in the case of that impasse, a majority vote by the board would determine the outcome of that objection. I think you have a conflict of interest, you say no, the board then votes, and if it's a majority against your position, you're recused. Query whether that opportunity outside of a quasi-judicial matter would arise absent the procedure you just suggested. That's the issue. I think absent that procedure, kind of relying on the good faith of either the member or the motives of somebody else that has enough information to raise that objection. So I don't know that it would ever come up that often under those circumstances, whereas your situation or your hypothetical would result in potential issues being examined instead of being overlooked or not noticed.
Well, I know that at least one of our council members recused themselves on a property decision that we made as a council a couple of years ago.
And that's laudable.
Right.
The interesting issue presented by your hypothetical is, will you always have that kind of laudable cooperation, or do you need to shine a light on it as in the hypothetical you suggested, in order to be more diligent about such potential issues?
Now, also, with the NPO, once a year, and I have to do it before April 15th, which happens to be tax day, but anyway, we have to certify to the state legislature that we do not have any conflict of interest in. You know, that's all the transportation money coming
right,
from the state,
so
that I don't have a piece of property that might get impacted by one of the decisions of the NPO.
Yeah, these conflict of interest matters come up often enough. Not, they're fairly uncommon, but they come up often enough. And I've always found them difficult to deal with, given the instrument I've had to work under. I think this clarifies a lot of it, and if council thinks you need to implement that procedure that the, for example, the board, the ABC board I work for does, then that's fine. I don't know that you need a roll call per se, but that, again, implementing that procedure is a call you all make.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion that we adopt resolution R-2201 as written.
I'll second.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Okay.
I have a quick question that's kind of related to what Jim just did with the conflict of interest policy. In our personnel policy, we have a solicitation of it for acceptance of gifts and favors, and it states that anything of value as defined by state law, usually more than $50. And in Jim's policy, it says $25. Can I have permission or a motion from council to correct our policy to match Jim's, which comes from the state statute, just to change the amount from $50 to $25, so we're consistent?
Yeah, I make a motion we change the policy to 25 to match your state statute.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion. Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Opposed? Okay. Okay, sir, we finished with that topic? All right. Moving right along, we are now into 3:45, right on time, the council topics. Gentlemen, if you would look at the land use survey results, please, just quickly before we start this discussion. I would recommend you start at page 4. I just want to call attention to the fact that as of June 7th, there were 970 responses. Approximately 800 of those were from property owners. Then I would like you to move on to page number 7. And under page number 7, it's how important are the following recreational activities to the future of Curry Beach? Open and natural spaces and parks and playgrounds, sidewalks, pedestrians, etc. You can see how popular those particular items were and how favorable the community looked at them. That's really only the only purpose in putting that before us. The first item on the agenda to talk about there is green space for Curry Beach. As a council, we had talked previously about looking at potentials for some type of a park. We had, in fact, gone ahead and looked at some items relative to the park, and Alan, Mandy, and myself actually met with a what are these?
These are landscape architect.
Landscape architect, and have an estimate on what it would take to put together a community park as we are contemplating. And before we actually proceed any deeper or further on that, I think it behooves us to tell you that their proposal was the design and support in construction, not the construction, but support in construction, support in public meetings, was $20,100. That's not an insignificant amount of money. But the thought is, do we wish to pursue this any deeper, consider it deeper? And I guess that's the question before us as a council. We discuss it publicly. We still have not, in general, talked about precisely where this park may be, but we have, in fact, looked at some properties that are owned by the town. Any thoughts?
Well, from my perspective, anytime you get ready to start from scratch, with just a blank piece of property, you're better off having public input meetings, getting people's ideas, listening to everybody, and then make the facility match what the property will allow or you can obtain out of the property. You know, if you can't fit a baseball field on it, you can't put a baseball field there. You know, if you can't, you know, that's a simple thing. Having someone come in and do this plan and give us ideas, they are the experts, and they would give us ideas on the property, do all the research, and could give us some good ideas and conduct the public meetings for us. And they would be along the same lines as the bicycle pedestrian plan, where there'd be walk-in maps. You talk to them, they have their ideas, we have our ideas, and then we come together on a consensus. It's typically the way park projects are planned from scratch.
So the 20,000 plus is just to build a plan?
Yeah, the 20,000 is to build and execute, sell a plan, basically. Of course, if you don't sell the plan, it's money unrealized, I guess. So the point is, do we proceed with this? Do we proceed with this on our own and take a look at things?
Based on Alan's background, he has strongly coached that we look at this professionally, so it's handled professionally and done professionally. Now, that cost does not include the building of the park.
Right.
That's where are we talking about putting the park?
Yeah, how, if you contract for the concept, don't you need to know where you're going to put it, or do is that part of
it? Well, the mayor does not say it.
Yeah, so the town only owns, well, we have more than two parcels, I guess, but
yeah,
there's only one that is a potential place for a park, and that would be the Sandman lots. And so I'm fine with someone exploring what the citizens would like with that property, because the interactions with both of the two adjacent HOAs lead us to, while we're not at an impasse, we're not making much progress, right? And so I haven't re-engaged in that over the last year, right, because really I haven't had time, and council hasn't had a big push for that, right? We've had plenty of COVID stuff and other stuff going on. So from my standpoint, finding out what the citizens would like to do with that property is fine. I'm sure that the HOA that owns the lots that are currently landlocked would be very interested in asking something from us. I don't know what it would be.
Is that
right?
Beachwalk?
Yes. So
I think we should reach out to those two HOAs first and say, this is our plan.
Well, I don't think we have a plan, because I think the rest of the citizens get to decide if they want to defray the money.
Let them know what we're going to do first.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, so you need to poll your HOA, get some feedback, and then we're going to work, because we're about to drop this on the entire town.
Yeah.
So y'all can provide some feedback first, then we're rolling.
Mayor, can
I'm fine with that either way, right? I don't know. Good.
Is the bike pad plan impact that parcel? I mean, has any of that come down through there where the park would be really?
Yeah, no.
Not really, but it will be a park that will be potentially bike and pedestrian friendly for people to ride their bicycles to the property instead of having a parking lot there.
Yeah.
It's more of a neighborhood.
Well,
think of a neighborhood.
See, I don't know that that's got to play out. I don't know.
Well,
that's
no, that's part of the process.
So,
you got to play out
so,
all of it.
So, from my standpoint, living far down there, I don't know that there shouldn't be some parking if there's a park there, in my opinion.
Okay.
But that's what I'm saying is that's got to play out. So I don't think we can guarantee whether there's park or not. First, I think the rest of the citizens got to weigh in on the fact that basically we're taking $500,000 if we could sell those lots, if we ever got there, and turn it into a park. That's $500,000 that could be spent on something else for the town that the citizens got to say they agree with, in my opinion.
Well, that's part of the process.
Right, yeah. And I think that's fair, right? Because we have not, while I've tried to unwind the Gordian knot with the two HOAs and agreements that previous councils made and stormwater issues and all that, I would say that I don't think I'm that much closer to the town being able to do anything else other than a park with that property without getting one or the other of them to sue us. And I'm sure they'll go back and listen to this and I'll get a call, but that's fine. But that's my honest evaluation of the positions right now.
Well,
both HOAs have said that if the town went to sell that property right now, they would attempt to prevent that with lawsuits. Both of them said. And both of them think that if we sell it, it has to be a condition that's in their HOA, right? So that's the issues, right? So, I mean.
But do those same adjacent homes want a bunch of kids and folks playing in
well,
the backyard?
Well, it depends what. We already have a kids' play park, right? So you have to decide what type of park you would wish to have there. But David has some significant points there, and you have good points, and there was points about trying to tie it into a variety of things. And you're right, David, and you and I have told both HOAs,
sure,
that land belongs to 1,900 people,
right?
Not the two HOAs.
Right.
And
But I'm fine with telling them the town's considering doing that. I agree with Joe, instead of surprising people, you know,
They don't need to read about it in paper.
That's exactly right, right? I think we communicated to the HOAs that this has popped up in the budget process, and we're considering, as we move forward our budget, to hire a professional to float this as an opportunity for the town and to get feedback. And so if the HOAs were listening to this or here, because it's a public hearing, they would hear it. So I think it's fair to tell them. But we haven't allocated that money yet. It's in the budget process, right? So we're in step one of that. Are you proposing we hire that person in this budget year and make an amendment, or as part of the budget process?
What I was actually thinking about at this point is, based on the cost of developing this thing, after we know what people want, is it something we wish to pursue? I personally think that green space, a well-designed park with some of the things that that have been on our mind, at least as we talked about them, would be a value to the town and a value to the property owners in that area. Not to be a noisy place, but to be a, I don't know, maybe a more serene place, a place of relaxation, you know, big swings, all those kinds
of stuff. Well, then I'm with Joe in the sense that I think we should send a note to the two HOAs and say, in the budget process, it has came up that one of the considerations is to hire a professional to evaluate the town's interest in this being a park, and we want to let you guys know that.
And this,
and it hasn't been approved yet,
these,
but that's what we talked about.
And these firms, whoever, no matter who you pick, they have civil engineers, landscape architecture, architects, they've got people that understand stormwater and everything that could evaluate the whole site for us. So it'll cover all the bases.
I'm of the mindset of make it part of the budget process rather than a budget amendment. There's no rush to make this happen.
Well, and then we can just tell them it's been discussed, and then if they have a big issue, they can come to the next budget meeting and say, we want you to get that out.
So one of the two HOAs.
Okay, I can put a note out to the two HOAs.
Right.
But I think I should probably put a note out to all the HOAs.
I think you should do it to all the citizens then.
Yeah,
actually. Is that this came up in the budget process and the council is considering this?
So,
because it shouldn't just be to HOAs, because there's plenty of other interested citizens.
That's
is
true.
That during the, I think the note, hey, we just finished our first retreat.
Mm-hmm.
In there, I'm sure you're going to say some other stuff. And then one of the interesting things that was brought up that council's considering as we move through the budget is to evaluate the possibility of making the Sandman lots a park. And then you tell them everybody. And I think that's fair. And then I'm sure I'll get a call and I'll say, well, it came up. We talked about it. Yeah. It's on tape. Yeah. You can listen to it. You can listen to the whole discussion, right? Good, bad, and indifferent. And then you can give us feedback just like everyone else.
Right.
I think that's better than telling just them.
Yeah,
that's telling everybody.
Should tell everybody.
Right?
Yep. Okay. I will take that action, and then we should have this as part of the potential for budget input.
Right. So I guess that, Arlen, you would put that underneath the governmental side for hiring a contractor? Where are you going to put that, just so we keep track of it, right? Or Parks and Rec, maybe?
We should put it in Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec, okay. For like consulting fees or something like that.
Yeah.
There you go. So you can let her know we might throw something else in there.
Because it'll be a big part of that plan.
If we get to the point that we do contract, I'd like to look at that contract.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
There will be no contracts that we sign that you do not see, Jim. Right, Counselor,
make sure the minutes reflect that.
And I know you'll hold me to that.
Nice.
Okay. So we have an action there. So I think, Alan, you had the next point.
Yeah. Y'all know that I walk every day, and I try to walk to different parts of town, not walk the same thing. But some things I do notice is the appearance of our community. And I think as a town, we need to set the example to try to keep our areas as clean as possible, which we are doing a much better job of. I mean, we don't have anything that's overgrown or out of control or anything like that. But we do have some private properties that just don't touch their landscaping. And through either building inspections or however we can go about doing it, I'd like to figure out how we can make these areas look better. whether it's along Atlantic on some of those properties down there, or just some general area. John, do you wait for a complaint before you do that, or is that something Bethany does in her?
We try to be proactive as possible, but a lot of times it's generated by a complaint.
I know Bethany does do the, you know, the rule on grass cutting and things, because she and I have talked about that.
And there's only so many.
So she's, I know she works that.
Yeah, but I mean, I just
yard art and things like that, we can't really do much about. But you know, overgrown bushes, weeds, and things like that, yes, we can.
I'd just like to see us do a better job of that, because I think it, especially in the areas that where we have so many of our visitors come. Especially along the boardwalk and around the hotels and stuff down there, it just seems to get grown up, and they're not paying a lot of attention to their properties. So that's all I want to say.
Okay. So, John, you feel you have the rule one? So I'm on a different side on this one, right? So this has came up multiple times with multiple councils. The one I remember the most was Tim Fuller about the historic district or the old side of town versus the HOA side of town, right? And so the HOAs have specific rules that they enforce to homeowners. The town, other than, I won't say nuisance, but I don't know, maybe, what are the rules that we've given you that you can enforce on
homeowners? Totally different from when Tim Fuller was here. That's
right, I agree, okay.
The whole part of the beach is, it's still the old part of the beach, but most of those vacant lots and issues that we've had over the years have been resolved with new buildings.
Right.
There are some businesses and areas in town that do have overgrown bushes. Southern Seas is a perfect one. The bushes overgrow the sidewalk every single year.
Right.
I think Public Works chases those down quite often. They also have some century bushes on the other side of Atlantic. I think you guys cut those, or did the Seven Seas?
We have cut them, but I think
Both.
Well, that's what I was asking, is what are the rules that you have that...
We have rules that can address that.
Okay. I just want to make sure you have what you needed, right? Because I push back against more rules, but being a private property guy, I guess, but, you know, that's why I don't live in an HOA. So that I wanted to make sure that you have what you need for what Alan's asking for, right? If you think you do, then that's fine.
And I'm not asking for more regulations or restrictions. I just want us to enforce what we have.
I just didn't know if he had enough.
There are some things that are not necessarily, they look like they're on private property, but they're not. And I think there's some of that you might be seeing also.
Like it within a right of way or something. Okay.
Well, then we just, Public Works, if it's all on our property, we can make it go away, right?
We can work that out pretty easily.
Yeah. We have a chainsaw. We can make it go away.
Or a backhoe.
That's right. Yeah.
I'll start taking pictures.
Yeah, or a fire truck.
I'll come walk with you one day as long as you don't mind my gimp.
You can't walk.
Yeah, don't mind my gimp.
You have to get a lot of help here.
He'll
ride the golf cart beside you.
Yeah, he'll be right beside me in his pickup.
Go faster. There you go. Cool.
I would welcome that, John.
Okay, so those are 2 points. Any other commissioners have any topics they want to bring up here? John?
I'd like to bring up one really quick. At our last marketing meeting, we currently have on the books by a committee 5 members and an alternate. They have one of the members is leaving, mm-hmm. and the alternate is leaving. So there's basically 2 open positions. They have 4 applications, and you can rank them 1 through 4, but they're all good. They all want to work in that. What they would like is to bring forward to the February council meeting the opportunity to change their committee to 7 full-time members and hire 3 of those 4.
And 1 an alternate?
No, just 7.
Just 7 members.
7 members. And not have an alternate. And if one leaves, they would hire a 7th and keep.
Sure.
But they can rock and roll with 5 or 6 if a 7th one were to say, I'm done.
They certainly have the ability to come forward and make that request.
That request can even be put onto the consent agenda, I think, or what do you?
We can do that, but I just want to point out that it is so hard to keep these positions filled.
Yes.
And when we increase the number of the members, I get it. I understand there's a lot of people that in this specific group right now at this time, but that does not always follow through. Right. And then we have such a hard time filling those extra positions. Whether interest wanes or their project portion that they were most interested in is done, or however, no matter a family emergency, no matter what it is, at some point we start to lose members and we can't keep them filled. And then it's like our committee's floundering when we've got that many spaces and that many openings.
Because then I also don't have a quorum for that right. committee.
Yeah. Then we run into quorum issues when we do this.
If what's a quorum for seven? Four?
Four.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
More than half, right?
We'll move it up to four.
Or if it's five, you've got to have three.
Right.
I guess they feel, right? Mm-hmm. I'm speaking for them, that even with seven, if one drops off, they'll have six. Now, granted, you don't like to vote with six, but you don't like to vote with four either. Mm-hmm. So they think they've got currently the commitment and the work to do to have a committee of seven, and that's what they'd like to bring forward. And we can discuss it at the February meeting. I'm not asking for a position. Right
so
now.
What the information is, they have the right to do that. And Mandy is telling us that if they do that, there's a responsibility to keep it at that level. So, but that decision, we can make that in a council meeting, but they have the right to bring it forward.
Okay, well.
And I'm just saying, in general, with across the board committees, that we run into this when they want to increase their membership.
And I talked to you about it. And we looked at the rules and the
community center's been up and down and all
over. Yeah.
But if we make it a consent agenda, that would be before it was discussed as part of the agenda.
So if
I report back to them that if you would like it to be a consent agenda, to me that means we have agreed. And as part of that consent agenda, they will name the three people they have chosen.
Yeah, do we have to approve the three that are on marketing?
Beth, do you know? I can't remember with marketing.
We'll have to take a look.
Approve it. I need to look at the guidelines.
Yeah,
I think because your committee members are.
Board has to
approve. Yeah,
I think so. Y'all would have to appoint them. Yeah.
Because they represent. I mean, they're directing spending.
Yeah.
And so. Maybe.
So they can put forth their recommendations of the members, and then council will make the decision.
Make the decision, yeah.
Right, but it still could be a decision on the consent agenda.
It could. And if somebody has a problem with the consent agenda, they could take it off consent agenda and move it to meeting.
Right.
So. But you'd have to have agreement on seven to get it on the consent agenda.
Right. And does council want to look at the applicants? I mean, I think we should make, if we're going to do that, we need to make it like an agenda item, not on the consent. If you guys are going to look at the applicants and appoint these people as stewards of the town's money in that area, then let's keep it as an agenda item instead of on the consent. And that gives you time to review the applications and discuss it at the meeting. You can still make a decision at the meeting and make it happen and appoint those people, but at least you have the discussion and the chance to review applications.
I don't have a problem with that. We can put it on the regular agenda, and we'll just have the discussion. We'll look at the people.
But we're not. We as a council aren't going to interview those four.
No, we are not. We will either accept them or not.
We'll accept the recommendation from the committee chair.
I mean, you can if you want. It's up to you. But I mean, if you review the applications, you may not need to, or you may want to. It's completely up to you.
Okay. We'll put it on the agenda item and have them make sure they send the applications to us so we get a chance to read them.
Seven, okay. They want to appoint them that night.
Thank you.
When do they agree on?
Well, thank you, John.
They're going to agree on whether it's 7 first, and then if they decide to go with 7, then they'll appoint the ones for the applications. If they
we'll look at the applications. Right. Okay. Did you have anything?
No, sir.
No, David? How about you, Joseph? No? Okay. That'll conclude that area. And now we go to, now we're 10 minutes behind. Actually,
no, we're ahead.
We're 20 minutes ahead.
Going, right?
So we have council determination of the 22-23 goals. Okay, let's look at the previous goals.
Can we check some of these off the list?
I said we need
to check some of these off the list, don't we?
Yeah, we actually had we had items under each one because we picked 4 things and we put our projects under them. Like improved parking.
Did we not
parking.
Do 2020 or 2021 goals?
We haven't
changed them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
They
okay.
haven't actually been discussed, I guess, for a little while.
Okay. I think we ran out of time at the last
Okay.
Well, I think the 4 goals are still very good for what we're trying to do here. It's just we need to identify what the A, B's, and C's are.
Right.
So why don't we go back to number 1? We're on 3 and 4 right now. Okay. Obviously, improved parking situation, I think that one's been handled. The upgrade the systems for water meter and billing, I believe that one's been handled. Actually, it's pretty good.
Yep.
Work on Department of Defense land use plan to retain assets. That's an ongoing item.
It's a working problem.
So I think C is fine. Under A, I mean, I don't know if we should put down something from the land use plan. Land use plan survey results.
Yeah, I think that's mm-hmm. right.
Well, okay, I'm going to
put adoption of the land use plan.
Yeah, we're going to have that as an adoption.
Yeah, right. So,
well, this is improved quality of life in the Curie we could have under here.
Okay.
Work the green space issue.
Yeah, and that's really what we want to. We're going to adopt the plan, but that plan is really to increase the green spaces or to look at the things that people have asked for in that survey. So I'm not quite exactly sure how to state that, if anybody has any particular way to say it.
And it can be very broad. We could say, like Jim said, we can say adoption of the land use plan.
And survey.
Yeah.
Okay. We can do that. So that'd be A. Is there anything else you want to put under there? We'll leave C. It could be A and B.
Yeah.
But
that's right.
We don't need to have 3. Is there anything we're actively pursuing in this area to improve the quality of life?
I don't know if this quality of life, I don't know which of the 4 it is, but I think it may be on number 2, the financial stability. But with what Arlen's presented, I think our goal should be to maintain the tax rate and the water and sewer rates if at all possible. I think we have a good year to do that.
Okay, so then
your public works project certainly speaks to improving the quality of life.
I think if you look at number 3, I was going to put it under number 3.
Okay.
We had town hall space in 2019, and now it's the public works office space.
So
for me, those are the 2 I had.
I guess we'll have A, adopt the land use plan and survey results. And B would be work on Department of Defense land use plan to retain assets. And then in number 2, ensure the integrity of town financials and maintain financial stability in all town funds. So we had bring in construction project on time and at cost. Alan, thank you. That was accomplished. I still think we could, I like to just be fiscally responsible,
yeah.
Period. That could be A.
C's good.
Improve the long-term planning. I'm not so sure. I don't think we have a bad long-term planning. I think Arlen's been directing us in this quite well. Review ordinances for enforcement process, that's actually been completed as well.
You can keep that on there. We've got work to do in that area.
Okay, we can keep that on there then. So that would be B. Room occupancy tax maintenance. We did that work. We actually have a pretty good process now. We've increased the log, and we even got the county convinced, so that one's been accomplished.
Right.
So I think, what was your comment under this one? Number two,
I think it was the goal for this budget year is to not increase the tax rate and to maintain the water and sewer rate. I think from the information Arlen provided earlier and from the American Rescue Act funding for some of the other projects, I think we should be able to do those this year.
Okay.
So I think that should be a goal, right?
Yeah.
Whether we make it through the budget process or not, Arlen may start getting squirrely, but I think that's the goal for to start with.
This is just to guide us in our decision process and the department heads as they make decisions. So I'm fine with that.
Do you want to deal with this resolution we passed and like implement the new town ethics resolution?
Well, actually, we've already done that, so okay. I mean, I guess we'll be okay with that one.
I've got to step away for a second, Mr. Mayor. Excuse me.
Sure. So let's move on to number three, enable an optimum working environment for staff to produce high levels of service to the public. Town hall space, we did that. Ensure policies are fair for morale. I think that one we need to keep. Do you have any ideas in this area, gentlemen, or Mandy?
I think David wanted to put the public works building there.
Oh, okay, right.
I think we need to mention our safety plan that we put in place for employee safety.
Okay, what would you recommend?
I would just say continue to improve employee safety.
Okay, that can be number A, that could be A.
A or C or whatever.
Yeah, B, ensure the policies are fair. And Jim, what else did you mention?
The public works building.
Oh yeah, the public works increase, well, instead of town hall space, we could say public works space.
Yeah.
Increase.
Yeah. So public works space, physical, and ensure policies are fair, and then the...
Well, mine might fit more into number four than...
Okay. Provide all departments with the support to maintain a safe working and living environment. Support the camera program.
Yeah.
Well, that camera program is pretty well implemented. It's been implemented by the police department out locally and even inside. If you go into Mandy's office, you can see right? And if you're in Mike's office, you can actually see elements of the town. So that, I think we should continue to support that program. I think we should continue to support the canine program. And of course, use technology to multiply abilities. That should always be a force multiplier that we should consider, right? That's usually a cheap force multiplier if you can use technology.
Alan, can you repeat what you said about the safety plan?
All right, Mandy, do you think it needs to go under three or four?
Four.
All right, I would just say continuation of employee safety program.
That's true because we've got that started now and COVID slowed us down a little bit. We should finish it.
Yeah, we've got some additional training we've got to do.
Right.
How about back under number one, quality of life, implement the bike ped?
We certainly could add that because we were looking at adoption land use plan and survey, but... We could say implement bike ped solutions or something like that, right? Now that may take a lot of compromise, but it's still of the same goal.
It's a goal.
Okay.
A lot of people work hard on that.
Oh, that's a good catch, John. That's a good add. Anything else? Anything you gentlemen out there see?
And ladies.
Oh, and ladies, I'm sorry. they're both hiding from me. I'm not tall enough to see them.
So can I just recap your goals real quick to make sure we have everything that we need?
Sure.
Okay. So your first one, adoption of the land use plan and survey results. B, we're going to use work on Department of Defense land use plan to retain assets and implement bike ped solutions.
Right.
Number two, we're going to remove bring in construction project on time and at cost. We're going to keep, be fiscally responsible, improve long-term planning, review ordinances for enforcement process, occupancy tax maintenance, and David mentioned not increase tax and water rates. Mm-hmm. What did he say?
He was saying, well, I think we should say maintain tax and water rates.
Okay, maintain tax and water rates.
Because he said keep, but I'm saying maintain the tax and water rates.
Okay.
And then you can actually take room occupancy tax maintenance off of there. Because we've
this pretty well done.
Yeah, we've achieved that.
Okay. And then for number three, we're going to change town hall space to public works building.
Right.
And we're going to keep B the same.
Yep.
And then for number four, we're going to keep support camera program. That is also a citizen camera program where the residents, if they have cameras,
that's correct. That's an element of it. Yes.
They can register or fill out a form and let the police department know.
The ring, yeah. Right? All the
so
ring cameras.
Support camera program. Keep use technology to multiply abilities, and we're going to add support canine plan and continuation of employee safety program.
Yes.
Does that wrap it up?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
Yeah.
Good job.
Some of those are very specific, some are very broad. That's okay. All right. When I look down through that, though, from 2017, I actually think we've been pretty much on track. Right? Took a little while to accomplish them, but they're done. A building, a parking program, et cetera, et cetera. So all of you were all part of that. I appreciate it. And council, it was my pleasure working with all of you on those programs. Let's do the rest. Okay, so land use, let's see. So we've gone through goals. I guess we can probably excuse the staff. You guys get out of here.
Do we have another closed session?
Huh?
Do we have another closed session?
No.
Well, we're going to see if we can go to closed session, should we?
For what?
We did it already.
We've already done it, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so we can go to adjourn.
Get adjourned.
Okay. I will accept a motion.
I'll make a motion to adjourn February 4th, 2022 town retreat.
Who wants to say adjourn? I can.
What?
Sorry, Joseph was talking.
Yeah, I'll second the motion.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.